Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, February 29th, 2016. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. Participant code is 385698. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send questions to nationallibertyalliance.org. That's questions plural. Please support our business partners. See the banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. Okay, we're going to start off in God's Word. We'll look at James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of bird, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Do a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Okay, that was James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Gary, are you on here tonight? Do you know if we have any questions coming up? Came through the mail, because I haven't seen any. I haven't checked my mail today or yesterday. Okay. I guess not. All right, we don't particularly have a topic. We've been pretty busy. We're writing papers and a lot of paper writing going on. We do have a very good plan coming up on talking with sheriffs out on the West. We're going to be going to speak to, oh goodness, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I think it's 11 or 12 states. Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 11. 11 states. We're going to be making contact with 11 states, every sheriff in the state, with a hard copy paper, very specific to them concerning the problems in Oregon, of course, but also relate those problems nationwide. We're also going to be talking with the governor, one of the governors out there. We're going to be talking to all the governors. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking to all the governors in the United States, all 50 of them. And, of course, we will be talking with all of the other sheriffs through fax and email copies of the same. But we also have a paper that we're putting together for governors, all 50 governors, and it's going to say a lot, pretty much, what is going to be spoken about to the sheriffs. We should have it all together and going out this week, and we'll read them next Monday. We're working diligently on papers that we'll be filing in Oregon and concerning the case out there, and particularly LaVoy, the assassination of LaVoy. But we want to really educate the sheriffs, particularly of what went out there, what really went down in Oregon, what's really going on in the United States. And I think we have a pretty good paper coming up. I think it's going to be pretty bold and pretty powerful and pretty eye-opening and pretty drawing. I don't think the sheriffs will really be able to avoid reading it. And we'll see, of course, how things go. A lot of activity across the whole nation. I mean, with the fingers on the pulse, so to speak, it's becoming pretty obvious that 2016 is it. We kind of called that earlier this year. This is the year of liberty, campaign for liberty. Campaign for justice, the year of justice, campaign for justice. And so we do see that things are ramping up. I think we might have talked a little bit about that last week, that things are ramping up. But you know, as we look out there more and more, we can see them moving faster and faster and ramping up and ramping up. Gas prices keep going down. Goodness, in New York, they're pretty cheap. I think I've seen them for $1.89. Locally, it's $1.90, $1.91, $1.92. And considering what it's been, that's very, very low. And the reason that the gas prices are low, it's holding up the economy. So things are not looking good from that end either. So we really have to get moving. This Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be meeting to discuss more of our plan and to get work done with all of the leaders, the leadership of National Liberty Alliance. Everyone is welcome to come to that meeting and participate. But it's a work meeting. Everybody has a workload to been working on the past week. Actually, for the past 2 weeks, and it's expected to be concluded this coming Wednesday. And we have more things for people to be doing that needs to be done coming out of every federal district. So it's ultimately a federal district leaders meeting, but all leaders are involved in organizing the states and really starting to get busy on bringing in new membership as much as possible. Now, Jan is here, right? Gary's not here?
I haven't seen Gary, but I can't track him on the new display.
Okay, because we're going to be working with calling out for things going out west with the courthouse. We're going to want to get as many courtroom watches out there as possible concerning the case out there with the Bundys and many others. We want to fill the courthouse. We're working on courtroom observers' badges. I'm hoping to have something done tomorrow. We're going to do something through Staples, and if we order one and create something for the record so that people can come in and order the same thing, you just put your own personal information on it, and you'll have a particular kind of a courtroom observer's badge. We're also going to be looking into bringing cameras into the courts. We're going to be setting some papers out this week. But we do want everyone involved, everyone getting the word out, even if you can't make it out there. We don't expect people from three, four states away to go out to Oregon. But anybody who is in the Oregon area and some of the states, some people don't mind traveling a state or two to get there to go to this court hearing. I don't think it's going to be anything very long, but we do need to get people out there. We are working on a habeas corpus for them and putting a lot of other things together. We're working with a lot of different people out west, a lot of new people from a lot of different organizations, a lot of contacts we've made with a lot of different groups. And I don't want to get into too many details right now, but next week maybe we'll talk a little more about that, or as the weeks come in, as the weeks come by. We do want as much activity as possible focused in on Oregon, and I think it's the court hearing is going to be in about 9 or 10 days. We're going to get the details out in the next 24 hours, I think. And we're going to be organizing this on Wednesday also. So anybody that is a courtroom watcher, anybody that wants to become a courtroom watcher, anybody even just for this case to come to the court, be at the meeting on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here in this room. Okay, I don't really have anything particular. I was hoping to have some writing done, but we've done a lot. Been doing a lot of research, and the writing is second to the research. So we're still working on research, and when that's completed, then we can complete the writing. We've got good parts of it already done, but again, we've got a lot of research to do. But it's going to be a very impressive paper with a lot of evidence attached. A lot of evidence attached. Again, we'll talk about those details next Monday. I'm sure we'll have everything out by then. All right, other than that, I don't see Gary here, so I don't know if we have any questions that have come through the email. So
Gary was here.
He was? How about Gerard? Is he in tonight? I don't see him in either.
I haven't seen him. Gary did.
All right. Yeah, John. Yeah, John, I was on the Monday night call-in line, and whoever the guy was last week that did this job, he can have it. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty tough. People that dial in, and then they're not listening, and you give everybody the number to dial in, you give them the instructions, and nobody drops.
I don't understand. What happened?
Oh, you have to be there, John. You got to be there.
Okay.
So, never mind. What may I do for you?
Yeah, I was wondering if any questions came in.
Oh, yeah. A question came in, and actually it rang a bell with me as well. Are there two different types of filing? Is there a common law and statutory filing? Because the reason being is we've got people that are being told that their filings have to have a cover page with an explanation of who the injured parties are, and there are certain rules that have to be followed. Is that something we don't have to adhere to?
For filing a court case?
Well, no, for filing our documents.
Oh, you mean the documents that we've been filing with all 94 courts?
Correct.
With the clerk.
Maybe you can mute yourself as I'm talking, because I'm hearing myself an echo through your
I'm gonna mute.
Mic, okay? Okay. No, there is no requirement of anything particular. We do a file on demand, okay, and we let it be known that in a criminal offense, for anybody who prevents the paper from being filed, the clerk is to file, and that's what the law says. The clerk is to file, period. They're not to make any judgments or anything of that nature. We are coming in under common law. They may not understand that. In fact, I know they don't. But ignorance is not an excuse. But we're very clear in our paperwork. We lay it out. And we're coming in as the grand jury. So, again, we're filing informations and mandamuses. We're not particularly filing a case. It is a case. We have opened a court of record, and things are going forward. We're building our case is exactly what we've been doing, and we've been doing that for almost a year now. Next month will be a year. I think it's next month, January, February, March. I'm not sure. Maybe it was May. When did we start? I think it was May that we started filing. We refiled the core wanto with a number, I think, in May. So in May it'll be 1 year. But since then we have filed quite a few papers. In the federal courts alone, we've filed, I believe, 13 now in all of the courts. Well, one of those 13 was just filed only in Oregon, I believe. And there's other papers we filed in Oregon and only in Oregon, and we'll be filing more papers in Oregon and only in Oregon. But generally speaking, we will be filing in all 94 courts.
Well, if you go to the federal court site,
mm-hmm.
They've got rules that they want for doing a filing, and one of them is because when you want to search these things, you want to be able you want people to be able to find them. Would it be an idea? I mean, since we are having the filings rejected, if we then make the next hurdle that they ask for and still reject us, then we know that they're just being malicious. But if there's a minor rule,
It'll be an interesting to find out if they did, you know, they're saying one thing and then you do it that way, and if they do file it. Let's take a look at that rules and we'll see. Maybe we'll throw a few tests. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. And I had this problem when I used to file cases, personal cases. You have to fill out their paperwork. And what I used to do is I would add things to the paperwork and check my own boxes, because I'm not coming into the fiction. I'm coming into a common law. And I remember one lawyer, you know, really crying about it. Look what he did. He made boxes and he made his own things, and, you know, so on and so forth, you know. But, you know, if you go into a court and you pay the money, you're in fiction. You're in the commercial. You're in their game. You're in a chancery court. If you go in and you fill out their paperwork and check their boxes, you're in there. Again, you're in their venue. So you have to work a way to get around that. One of the ways I worked around it, and worked for me, worked in federal court down in the Southern District on a personal case of mine. I filed some papers, and this was maybe about 8 months ago, a year, I don't know. But I filed some papers down there. The clerk rejected it and pushed it back. Okay, so I filed two more papers. I filed one paper naming her and suing her, going after her for violating my right of due process. And also I was going after her for felony. Because the clerk is the file. And then I also send my paper back. And what happened was I didn't get anything back that time. It went through, it took. And, of course, I'm sure she was sitting there praying that I'm not going to push forward on her case and against her. And I didn't, because she filed it, and I'm good with that. So the papers did go through, and I was able to get my court my case into the court. The other side that I was going up against defaulted, and the case was over immediately, you know. But nevertheless, you have to go in under common law. And again, if you're going to pay, you know, I think in the federal courts, $410 or something, or $400 or whatever it is. I know here in New York State courts, I think the last time I remember was $310. And I refuse to pay those now. I just won't. And again, that's what I do. I just sue the people for violating my right of due process. I'm coming in under common law, I make the paperwork clear, and I put it in. Now, as far as our number goes, you know, some of these people complain about a number, and we're clear with the number, what's going on, and why we've chosen our own number. We're filing in all 94 courts, and we're certainly not going to file 94 different numbers for each one of these cases to begin with. The other thing is we don't want to be in their number system on the Chancery Court system. So, since there is no common law court going on, and it is an Article 3 court, we're filing in the Article 3 side of the court. And the only thing required in order to have a prima facie case is just one thing and one thing only. Supreme Court has ruled this numerous times, so there is no paperwork to put on top or anything. You just need one thing, and that's an affidavit. An affidavit makes the case, and it makes it prima facie, period. So all of our paperwork is proper. They can do what they want with it. It's been filed, and of course we have sent it out to thousands of people that are, you know, elected officials, sheriffs, everybody. We sent everything we do. We send it out to everybody, and so there is a record of it, and now we're going down to check on them, and they can say whatever they want, and we should write whatever they say, and make an affidavit, and then we're going to file that. Now, I think the next paper we're doing now, which I don't want to talk too much about, is going to change that whole thing, I think, totally around, I think. We'll see. You know, as time goes on, we'll see what's going to happen. But you know, we've got a lot of paperwork going, and next Monday we'll start reading it. So.
Okay, I have another question where a guy wants to know if he can talk to someone, or how do you talk to someone who only can make a donation by taking money out of the bank at a certain time of the month. What does that person do?
I don't understand. What do you mean?
Well, let me read it exactly. How do you talk to someone to make a donation but can only take money at certain times of the month out of a bank?
Oh, in other words, if you go to the, you're going to have to mute yourself.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know why. Are you coming over speaker or something?
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, once you put your headset on.
All right. I too much changes right now, but yeah, I'll do it next time.
Well, you know, if you're talking about going out and clicking on the box and giving $5, $10 or whatever dollars a month, if you're talking about that, whatever time of the month you file for, it's going to be that time of the month every month. So if you did it on the 10th of the month, then it will repeat every 10th of the month. So all you have to do is plan a day, you know, in the middle of your area. Let's say you want to do it sometime in the third week or the second week, you know. So do it in the middle of the week or whatever you think in order to work out so that you don't have a problem with your account. I think they go once, maybe twice, maybe just once. I don't remember. If they go to your account on a monthly basis and there's nothing there, then they wait and they try again, I think, in 3 or 4 days. So, but that's how you do it. Just whatever date you want to go on every month, just put it there. All right, anything else?
Well, yeah, there is one, and I would just like Melissa, if you can get into the queue. Yeah, your question is inordinately long for me to be able to ask it.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll go into the queue. I'll start the queue then.
It's a big, huge question. If we can have Melissa get into the queue first, please, if everybody would just wait.
So if nobody gets into the queue for, let's say, next 30 seconds or so, let's let Melissa get into the queue first, and then anybody else that's never been on the mic or that's new, that's got a question or a comment, or someone that hasn't been on the mic in a very long time, they'd like to get into the queue. Those people got to get into the queue first. So as soon as I open the queue, you know, let's let the people who haven't been on or people that are new get into the queue first. And, of course, Melissa, you can get into the queue. I believe it's star 6 to get into the queue. So we're going to move from lecture over to the queue. Okay. Let's see. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, where this is at. It should be star 6 to get into the queue. I think it's right here on the list that I'm looking at right now, right? Where you and I are talking.
I think I'm not certain, John. It looks like the same list.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. But there should be someone with a hand up, star 6, if they're coming into the queue. And we should start to see people coming in with a hand up, I think. I'm not seeing
Melissa. I'm being told that Melissa does not listen in on the Monday night call.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why she asked the question for a Monday night call then. I don't know.
All right, so anybody else wants to get into the queue? Wants to get into the queue now? Star 6 to get into the queue. And I presume Gerard's not here tonight? Okay, I don't see anyone in the queue, which is strange. All right, again, star 6 to get into the queue. I'm just checking to make sure that we have everything on. All right, you're in the panel also, right, Gary?
Yeah, I see.
I am, and I'm not noticing.
Does anyone see any hands up or anything? Because I don't see anybody.
I don't know where the queue hides.
I think what happens is it shows a bubble next to their name. Like, for example, if you see Crystal in the phone number ending in 1111 right at the top.
Okay, so
she has a unique character.
Okay.
No, actually, everybody's got it, so maybe not. I could be wrong.
Maybe you have to hit a 1, star 6 and a 1.
No,
Well, that would be like the free conference call.
That's what the other one was.
I know.
Yeah.
but it was star six to mute.
So maybe just anybody can get into the queue and let us know that it's working.
Well, why don't you try just clicking the next button and see what happens?
Yeah, here we go. Got the next button. Oh, there's someone just popped up. Someone was unmuted. Let's see. 412. Who's got the mic?
Yeah, this is Jim in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I see the problem. Hold on a minute. If I hit Q and A, that's what pops up top. I got it. Hit Q and A, and then that's what ranks them down top to bottom. You know what I'm saying, Gary and Jen? Okay, go ahead. Gary from Pennsylvania, did you say?
Jim.
Yep. Jim from Pennsylvania. Go right ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I want to tell you about my experience today trying to go to the U.S. District Court for Western Pennsylvania. I wanted to get on there and confirm that they have our papers on file. And I went to the U.S. District Court clerk, and that individual didn't have a name, a badge on, so I neglected to get the individual's name. I didn't get his name, but he said that the papers, they don't have them. He remembers receiving them, but they do not have them. They were sent on to the U.S. Marshals office.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down there and requested the papers that were sent to them, and they I had a really in-depth conversation with one of the marshals, but he would not give me his name. And I told him I'm filing an affidavit, and I'm going to just write that you would not reveal your name to me. But he wanted to know all about NLA, and I asked him to please contact our organization, group, if you want to know more about us.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yeah, you know, this is very interesting. And again, you know, we're going to go after the chief judges because they're responsible. And we're going to go after the appointed clerk, which would be the chief clerk. Those are the two individuals. And we're going to send out, as soon as we get all this paperwork in and get all the affidavits pulled in, we're going to send in to all of these people that have not filed them, we're going to send them contempt of court with opportunity to amend. The next step after that really is we start to move towards indictment. But we're working on that right now with sheriffs, and obviously we're not going to do an indictment until we get a number of sheriffs working behind us to do what has to be done. And I think that that's a very, very good possibility in the next 30 days or so, maybe less. It depends on how things go as of next week once we get this next set of papers out. And there's a lot of good things going on. You know, if you go out to Utah, the governor out in Utah is challenging the fact that the 17th Amendment, which deals with the election of senators, is unconstitutional and needs to be overturned. And so we're going to write a letter of support on that. We also know that the governor is reclaiming all Utah land that the federal government has taken control of. They have sent notice that they're recouping it. They're taking it back. It belongs to the state of Utah. It doesn't belong to the government and the federal government. They have no right to it. They have no authority over it. And they're going to be dismissing all those people out there in that state. And that's going to be a very interesting thing. So we got to get behind that governor. We're going to send some papers to that governor, letting them know that we're supporting that governor. And we're going to be talking with all the other governors, the other 49 governors, concerning what's going on in Utah. And it's time for all governors to do this. So, again, we're going to get into the details of these papers going out to sheriffs and the governors next week. So, but there'll always be an opportunity for these people, to get on the right side of things. I think they're going to become very alarmed in the next couple of weeks once they start to see that sheriffs are going to be moving on this, and I think they will be. I don't know, again, how long it's going to take to get them moving, but we have been educating them and priming them for quite some time, and some of them, I think, have been reading some of our stuff pretty good, and now it's just time to make personal contact, so that's what we'll be doing now. But, okay, we appreciate that report, and you know, get your paperwork in as soon as you can. And we'll be discussing this issue particularly on Wednesday for our 9 p.m. meeting here in the same room, which will be, you know, leadership. And that's the major job that all of district leaders are working on, to make sure we get to all 94, actually 90, because we don't have anyone in the four territories. So we get 90 districts within the states and four within territories. But if we get people to join us in territories, we definitely will. We have been filing papers out there, but we definitely will get more involved and check in on those four districts also. Okay, anything else?
Yeah, John, one last thing. The minutes for the Monday night call have been forwarded to NLA, but they just haven't been posted yet.
Okay, sounds good.
That's all I have.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, let's take our next caller. Who is this? Greg, it looks like. Peak of Zenith. Greg P, maybe? Looks like last letter for the last name. Greg, go right ahead. We heard something. Heard you breathe in the mic anyway. Greg. We can hear some mic movement. All right. We'll take the next caller. Okay, let's take the next caller. D from PA.
Is that D or
from
DD?
PA? It looks like DEE, right?
Yeah, is it DD?
Yeah, I only see D, but maybe it is a DD. Let's see if I can stretch that. No, I can't. D from Pennsylvania D, you've got the mic. Just speak up and we'll let you know if we hear you.
She's still muted. Should I unmute her?
Yeah, unmute her. She looks unmuted to me, but go ahead.
She moved around. Okay, now she's clear. Show's clear. Unmuted.
D? D, speak into your mic. Maybe your mic is muted. Maybe you got your mic muted on your end.
Pennsylvania D.
All right, we'll take the next caller. They can always get back into the queue. Next caller is,
hello.
That? Yes, go ahead. What's your name? James?
My name's Jim from New Hampshire.
How you doing, James? Jim.
We're okay. I had a question about the common law courts, basically what the requirement is to even set one up.
Well, look, at right now, there is no common law courts in America. We have Article III courts, but they're not in operation. The fiction has taken control of that, so they have chancery courts operating. So when you go to those courts, they're operating as chancery. It's very difficult to get anything done in those courts under a court of record, which is common law. But I'm not filing any new cases, and personal cases anyway, at least not until we actually get the courts back to the people. And we have been filing, of course, our papers in the courts, and all they're doing is giving us evidence of criminal activities by rejecting those papers, and that's why we're going. Excuse me. That's why we're going around. Some water. Getting affidavits on the courts that are not filing our papers. Interesting thing is they're not sending them back, okay? They're putting them someplace else. I mean, why would they send it to the marshal? That's very interesting. Of course, they didn't want to see if they can't do anything. There was no need to do that because he already got his copy anyway. Any paper we file in any court, Marshall gets a copy. And so do all the sheriffs, and so does the special agent in charge of the FBI. We hide from nobody. Our papers are very focused, lawful, and on point. We don't deal with the fiction. We don't play word games with them. We just talk about the Constitution and the need to obey the law. So that's what we do. But if you're trying to file a case, you know, I would suggest wait till you get to the other side. You know, things are about to break. There's no doubt. There's a lot of stress and tension across the nation. You can see things ramping up or ramping down or whatever you want to call it. And we are starting to move fast also.
And where were the jurors coming from for these common law courts that we're going to be setting up?
Well, we're only building administrations, which means we're training four people for every county. You know, in every county, they have people that usually in the courthouse. It will all be done in the courthouse. But, you know, the prosecutor's office might do all the contacting, possibly. Or the court itself might be doing all the contacting to bring people in potentially as grand jurors or trial jurors. And then the prosecutor, at least in New York State, the prosecutor deals with the grand jury and works with them to get his ham sandwich indictment. And once the court case starts, at least here in New York, the judge then takes control of the trial jury. So the government has control of everything. They control the jury. They control the court, what court it's going to be, the jurisdiction. They control the prosecution, and you don't have a chance in a courtroom at all, not a chance at all. And so that's the problem. Now, they're paying people to do that, so we need to take that over, and the people need to be disconnected from any political connection as far as anything we're doing, and needs to be really bringing in people in the same fashion that they're bringing them in. We'll use the very same, pools that they're using. We'll use a phone book whatever place we can get it. We'll use the driver's, the motor vehicle pool or voters pool or any pool, you know. And we will draw people into a grand jury or a trial jury when it's called for. And they will be orientated in the common law, very basic. We will give them, we get 8 hours to spend with them, just like they do now. They actually program the people, and they do psychologicals on them. We're not going to do anything like that. When the jurist is picked, they're picked, that's it. The only way that person's going to be dismissed is if there is a reason, maybe they know somebody or something in the case, or some personal thing, you know, connection. As far as the prosecutor, he can't just, he's not going to ask questions and not going to dismiss anyone. You pick the jury out of a pool and that's it. Unless someone has a good reason why that jury shouldn't be there, and there are sometimes where there's good reasons, and if they bring them up, then fine, you replace them. But they have to be orientated in the common law. They have to be given principles, teaching them to come in with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And, that's what we're going to be doing. So they're coming from the counties, you know. Hang on 1 second, man. Gerard just called. What's up, Gerard? You can't get in? You're breaking up. I can't hear you. Oh, okay. Well, I'm not in on the phone, so there's no way I can pull you in. So, try calling Gary up. Maybe he's in on the phone or someone else.
I'm on Skype. You want to call me?
Call Jen. Jen's in on Skype. Okay. All right, I'm back. I'm sorry. Okay.
So any other questions on that? Yes, I'm still here. How far away do you think we are from doing cases, court cases?
Well, when we get into the courts, we don't know. I mean, literally it can be as short as a month now the way things are looking, but it still could take many months. This year is going to be it. in my opinion, because they're looking to lock things down this year. They're looking to make big moves this year. And so we need to get ahead of it if possible. Because if we don't get ahead of it, then they're going to come out violently. And we're trying to stop that from happening. And so I think in the next couple of weeks, people are going to see something a little different, you know. And we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. I think we'll have a better feel of where we're at, and I think everybody will realize a little better where we're at, too.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. By the way, you can't, a sitting grand jury cannot be indefinite, you know. I think an appropriate grand jury, maybe at most a month, okay? And if they're on for a month, it's only because things are slow, and maybe they're only meeting once a week dealing with cases over the course of 4 or 5 weeks, you know? But if they're in there with a load of cases all week long, I don't think it's appropriate to hold people in more than a week, so we should be bringing in new grand juries every week. And that could be a problem with people, you know, complacent and not wanting to be on the grand juries. But we got to turn this, and trial juries, we got to turn this attitude around, because look at this is how we are involved with our government. We get to judge our government. We get to judge the people. We're not going to let the government judge the people. It's our job to judge the people. And also we have the opportunity to judge our elected individuals when they break the law, when they don't obey the Constitution, and they do whatever they want, and we give them a warning, and they don't correct their problems, then we'll give them an indictment, and then they can go talk to a jury. That means they'll be pulled from office, they're removed from office, and they can go talk to a jury about it. And that'll be that. So this is where we actually take control of our government. This is where we consent to our government. Right here in the jury box is where we consent or not. So we need to really get out into the schools. We'll start once we get things going and situated, we'll start working with the committee men. We'll bring that process back under its proper place because right now it's a top-down structure. When it should be just like this, a bottom-up structure. The people within inside their own districts, they get to decide who goes onto the ballot and who doesn't. Right now they're told and they just walk the papers and they have no control over that. Sometimes they make them look like they're voting for something, but it's meaningless. Their votes doesn't count at all. But we're going to fix that, and then we'll make use of the committee man, because the committee man is stretched out in every election district, so we can really get working into get a campaign going, working an education campaign, working in every one of these districts, the election districts throughout America, so we can start to bring education back to the people and get people involved, and that's part of the work we're going to have to be doing. But again, you know, we are sitting on a grand. National Liberty Alliance is a grand jury pool, not a trial jury pool. We will never pick a trial jury through what we're doing. And the only we've got people sitting, thousands of people that are sitting on the jury, the grand jury, for what we call the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. We've got people from every state. So when we get together as a grand jury, you know, we represent the entire nation because we have that many people. And the only thing that we're looking at is subversion. And this grand jury will remain seated until we finish and deal with subversion against the United States of America. Once we finish with that, then we will break off as a grand jury. And then a lot of us will become administrators. And then people living in their own counties, if they're called in as grand jurors or trial jurors, they should come up and take a seat on that bench and participate. If they want to be an administrator, then they need to sign up for administrator and do it now. But we'll dismantle the grand jury on a national level once we deal with this major problem. And then it goes back on to the county levels. And the people we are training to become administrators, they're taking our civics course, they're taking our constitutional course, and we also have another course up there that's really in a book on court access, and procedures in the court, things of that nature. But a lot of that is on the process and how things work, so you can understand how things work the way they run things. But we also have a lot of common law stuff up there and how things should be working. And we have a lot of other educational material up on our website, and we will be putting together another course in the near future, which will be more towards the administration, and we're also writing a book, an administrator's handbook, which will guide people in all of the counties on how to operate things, how things work, and how to orientate. And, you know, we'll give them a lot of information, and of course we'll always be here for advice and information as we continue to train people in these areas, because the power of the people is on the grassroots level, and we need to empower people on the grassroots level. And so we are looking to empower 4 people on every single county to be administrators, and that'll be a paid job. And as time goes on, of course, people will retire or move or whatever the case may be, and other people come in, and they need to be educated. So we'll always have an educational process set up for these people to qualify them for these jobs. And of course, they will be working while they're learning, sort of on the job training. So. All right. Anything else, Jim?
No, thank you. I appreciate the information.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's take our next caller. It is Crystal, 203. Looks like Connecticut.
Hello.
Yes, how you doing?
Yes, fine. I had filed my paperwork. I got all my transcripts, and I sent them over to you.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
we got them all to Linda, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The transcript where I said, well, how are you taking my house when I got the deed and proof to my property? And that's when the judge said, well, did you know she has the proof? And she said, no, Your Honor. I said, yes, you do have the proof. And he still ruled against me. And then when I went back the second time, none of them showed up. So I asked for the case to be dismissed. And he ruled against me, and he said, well, this is his court, and he can rule the way he sees fit. This is not a federal, you know, so.
Did you file an appeal?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because just do whatever you got to do to make time and say, you know, to tie them up. And
right.
Make sure you understand how the appeal works. I mean, last time I filed an appeal in New York it works this way. I think it's 8 months. You have 8 months to what's called an appeal. But you only have so many days to file for the appeal.
Right.
I think it's 30 days. At least
yeah,
in New York,
we did
it's 30
that, yeah.
days. Yeah. So you have to check in your state. So if you've got 30 days, you just make sure you do it as soon as possible. I wouldn't waste any time getting that.
Right, because they want to auction the 12th of March.
Right, so you want to move that real quick. Now, meanwhile, we'll continue to do some paperwork for you. But we've been sort of stunted because of what's going on in Oregon and around the nation. I mean, we are 24/7. We're just working.
Well, they've
writing,
been arrested
writing,
some of the, and we've been having quite a few cops. I mean, attorneys that are getting arrested for stealing people's homes and trustees. So a lot of things are starting to happen in this state also.
Well, that's good. And you're in a state without sheriffs, no less. That's very interesting. Right?
I'm sorry?
You're in a state without sheriffs, so that's very interesting. You're in Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, how many months did they give you to perfect your appeal? 6-8 months?
No. No, he denied it.
Who they denied your appeal?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, no. Who did you go to? Wait, where did you file your appeal?
Well, I filed the motion.
Oh, no. No, go up to the appellate court and file an appeal in the appellate court. He doesn't get to decide. That guy doesn't get to decide that, oh, you can't, we're going to deny your appeal. That's ridiculous. Okay?
Oh.
Well,
I got another paper. Let's see what it is.
Court.
Take it to, oh, okay.
Are you in the Supreme Court? I know in New York we call it the Supreme Court. The New York
Supreme Court's
New York
up in
State.
Hartford.
Okay, but what court are you in?
The Superior.
Okay.
And I,
Okay, so you're in the Superior Court. The Superior Court, if you go and you Google the Superior Court and you look into the appellates and the appeals court and you call them up and you get information from them how to file an appeal. You don't go to the judge that ruled on your case through an appeal. That is absurd. I mean, you talk about the fix. I mean, goodness. He rules against you and then denies your appeal. I mean, that's a joke. That's what that is, really.
Yeah, and I think there's something going on with this judge because over 50, 60 people, it's the judge and the attorneys. There's no jurors or nothing. I mean, it's just like... And
right, it's called a summary judgment, and that's against the law. And
right.
You know, look, we will be getting back to the papers on these things soon. It's just that we're so bogged down. And, you know, as soon as we can, we'll get back to it.
And what also I've been doing, too, I've been going to the different colleges, the community colleges, getting a lot of the students and stuff like that for them to sign up. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Yeah, that's good to get the kids in school.
Right, because the high school students that are coming out, the students that are in the community colleges and all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll give them a real education here. They don't get civics and they don't get Constitution. We'll give it to them here free of charge, too.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
we
that's
won't
what
charge them $30,000, $40,000 a year, you know?
And they're learning it the right way.
But look at, go back and get online and see what the structure of the court, how it works. And there'll always be a higher court above another court that you appeal
right.
to. And you go and you call that court up. And you get, you, matter of fact, I would go down there. Well, first I'd call them up and get a copy of their rules and ask them, you know, as a matter of fact, they'll tell you where online to get them. And there are two questions you want to know. How soon do you have to file for the appeal to make sure you get it in? And then once you file for the appeal, and then you have to give notice of the appeal, you've got to give notice to everyone involved if you file that appeal. That stops everything. Then you have to... then ask them how long to what's called perfect your papers, okay, which means you're ready for filing your papers. How much time do they give you? And it should be at least 6 months. Again, New York is 8 months, so, you know, you can drag your feet for 8 months with these people now. And that's what people need to be doing everywhere. If you're in a case and you got a problem, appeal it and drag your feet because, look, if we're not in by 8 months, we'll all be speaking Chinese or something because we'll be in trouble. So we need to get in.
And what they're insisting upon, they want me to sign my name, sign some papers. Oh, we could save your house, but you got to sign. I'm not signing nothing.
Right. That's right.
And that's what they've been hounding me up to today. Oh, we will save your house. But you have to sign so we could refinance it for you. Refinance what?
Go get some information, like I told you, and I'm going to try to be, we'll have a call maybe next Tuesday, as we had before, for those people who have habeas corpuses and cases in for house, out losing their homes and things of that nature. And we'll talk to people a little bit. And I'd like to hear, you know, about what you've got going in Connecticut. And as a matter of fact, all the people that are involved that has a case that's either doing a habeas corpus or something, but especially with you know, mortgage problems where they're taking the home, the bank's taking the home, or the town's taking the home, or whatever, especially those cases, all those people should be checking in right now to find out what the appellate process is and get the information so you know what to do. As soon as you lose the case, you can move and really, you know, put it to a grinding halt for a period of time.
And one other thing, too, what they've been doing here, they've been foreclosing on the people's homes, having them to move out, and I told them, don't leave your home. And their homes are empty for 8 or 9 months. Then they turn around and say the people abandoned their homes.
Right. Well, because that's how they go about doing it. And they got a lot of other tricks that they move quicker than that now. So, but, yeah, when they give you the dispossessed, don't leave, because you've got quite a few months before they can get to the point where they can try to get the sheriff in. And if we can educate the sheriff on the situation, the sheriff won't evict you and you'll be stuck there. You know, we had a guy down in Maryland 2 years putting him off. What they did is they really set him up and they ended up arresting him and on a trumped-up charge. And while he was in jail, they went and took the home. So that's how evil they do get. You know?
Yeah, I can imagine.
Okay, appreciate the call.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, let's take our next caller. Okay, next caller is 816, number, what's your first name in your state? By the way, I see how this thing is working, Jan. Do you see this, how it's working now, the Q&A on this particular page or controls board? And Gary? But anyway, 816, I can hear you in the background there. 929. Okay. Yes, what's your first name? First name and state. Brian. From?
Kansas, Missouri, yeah.
Brian from Missouri. How you doing, Brian?
Kansas, Missouri. I called you a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
In the past.
Okay.
Like you said, as long as you're on the right side and do what's right, you're going to succeed.
That's right.
Correct? Okay, now. I had told you about.
Well,
things may not
turn out the way we'd want them to be, but we will succeed one way or another. We just need to do the right thing in life, no matter what. Period.
Okay. You're doing the right thing. You're doing the right mm-hmm. thing. All y'all together. Now here's what I'm thinking. Now, after you did all your talking, all your paperwork, you still ain't moving. They don't have to move because they have the military might. They don't got to listen to you say nothing what you're talking about really don't mean nothing because you don't have the military might to make nothing happen. But you do got something greater than the military might on this planet, and like you said, that's the good Lord. Am I right or wrong?
Right. That's correct.
Thank you. Y'all very smart. I love y'all. I love y'all. I love it when y'all come on. I love what you're saying and that other man in the background, wherever he is. And
that's
all the people
right.
that spoke
yeah, he's
tonight,
problems
God
with his
bless
enemies,
them all.
So.
And also, you already have the authority. You, everybody that's listening, what you're doing, everybody has authority because, see, under the Constitution, it says that the government's derived from the people, solely for the people. So the people created the governments, which is you, the people that's coming on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the people. We the people. That's the strength, as you was talking about. The people's a strength.
That's
they're
right.
Greater, they're the most greatest force on the planet than the military. But long story short, you know, just like the Indians said, white man speak with a forked tongue, whatever, however they was talking.
Mm-hmm.
They had their little war. Then you had your little civil war, North and South. So who came up with the most dead men basically won. So
mm-hmm.
when the civil war was there, there's bloodshed. Let's hope that it don't have to happen again. But as
right.
I'm saying, you don't. That's why I told you. You said you was gonna petition Congress for a weaponry, not to dethrone our people over here. We supposed to have their back, just like you said. They could be getting, like George Bush Jr. said, they was blindsided. Well, they could be blindsiding our officials that we the people, you know, we got their back. So we need that stuff in order to get their back. It ain't that we trying to punish them or, like you said, we ain't no terrorist organization, we the people. And that's what it says. That's what the Constitution says. We the people. We form the governments. We control them. And it's a law that you was talking about. It's our duty as a people that if our people are not being correct, it's our duty as a people to help them to get better like you're trying to do. And I'm
right.
grateful
and
for
we,
y'all. I love
working,
all y'all.
And we are
y'all doing a great
on,
job.
And we are working
doing
on
a great
law
job.
Enforcement. Well, we appreciate that,
right,
and
yeah,
it's right, everyone
yeah.
working together, you know, everybody
that's
working
fine.
Together, because only the people can save America. But look, we are working with law enforcement. We're trying to
okay.
train and teach them the Constitution,
that's
what's
good.
Going on. But it's a very interesting
right.
thing. Remember, out in Oregon, you know,
uh-huh.
they had mercenaries out there, and it may very well have been mercenaries that actually shot LaVoy. But the federal government was very, very slick. Well, let me get this point out, because the federal government
okay,
was very, very slick. They came in
okay.
and they took control, but they used all the locals to do all their dirty work. And they put the state, they claimed that the state police were up front, and they claimed that it was the state police that shot them. They did not say that any of the feds shot them, and they made sure that that did not happen. And they think that that protects them. And of course, it doesn't protect them. And there's plenty of evidence showing that this whole thing was a conspiracy and that he was murdered. But it tells us one thing, okay? They didn't bring in armed forces. They did bring in militias, or not militias, they brought in mercenaries, and they probably the ones that did the dastardly deed. But nevertheless, they're hidden. They don't want anyone to know. You know, they come and do the thing and get out. Why? Because you can't bring an armed force onto American soil. You can't do it. Now, they will do it eventually. It's coming up. They're going to, you know, move through and go through.
Hey, you got all the answers. You got all the answers. I might not get a chance to get in, but, hey, you got all the answers. The other guys got your back, and everybody is secure. Everybody is listening. God bless everybody. But
this is how I see the situation.
Are you good? You know you're good. You know you're good. Everybody listening and talking is in your operations. Good. But here's the bottom line. Now, them people up in Oregon, whatever it is doing, no matter what the state did, no matter what, who done nothing, the bottom line was that homeboy and them wasn't equipped militarily to take a stand. That's why I said what they was, like the sheriff said, we can't let this happen nowhere in America. That's cool, too, Sheriff. God bless you. We love him, too. But at the same time, they're supposed to, like you said, the land don't belong to no damn body, not the government. It belongs to the Lord, the man, the God that made the universe. That's what everything belongs to. He owns the water, the air we breathe, the gold, silver, everything. So
we only get to rent it for a period of time and pass it on to someone else.
Okay. You ready for me to get off?
Well,
hey, man, I love all
of you. If you're done.
Oh, no, okay. I ain't done. God bless. Like I said, I might not never get a chance to call back or whatever because I'm busy, too. I had to just steal my kids back in Missouri. You know what I'm saying? It's like all these people, sometimes the courts can make people snap. All these men taking their kids and woo-woo-woo. These judges back there ain't doing nothing, man. They want these people to snap and be chased by the FBI and commit a crime over their kids.
Right, they want to make everyone criminals. That's what they want to do.
I already know. That's good, but that's okay, because like you said, the movement that y'all doing, God going to work on, and like you said, if they don't change from their wicked ways, the Lord going to step in and do something to them. I promise. The time is coming.
You ain't got to do nothing.
The Lord got the power to bring them to their knees. And let's just hope that what you're doing open up their eyes, because see, the Lord is so powerful, He can bring in a foreign nation to come over here and devour everything we're doing over here. Now, the Lord can do that. You ain't nobody got to push no buttons. Ain't nobody got to take up no arms. Ain't nobody got to do nothing. But the Lord can do it. I promise you. He can cause an earthquake, anything, a disease. He can turn the water to bitterness, anything. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. God is in control. But I love all y'all, what y'all doing. And all I can say is that it sure would be nice if you could just walk into Whiteman Air Force Base and get in that stealth. Make you a 30-hour run like Donald Rumsfeld did when he was in office and come on back home. And I need you, if you and your partners or everybody, you know, if you can petition Congress for we the people, we deserve the same armament, same everything intelligence that we have operating over here because we're supposed to have our officials back. That's where you're coming from. You want them to do what's right. And that's all you're doing. You're setting the path straight for them. If they don't follow it, then the Lord going to intervene and whatever else is going to happen. That's all I can say.
I appreciate the call. I appreciate your point of view.
I love y'all, man. I love y'all. It's we the people. It ain't about color skin, like you said. It ain't about nationality, color skin, or races or nothing. It's we the people. You know, not only just us here in America. What about the people in China? You know what I'm saying? They just want justice and ordinary people, everyday common law people. And they being oppressed and hurt, too. So it should be we the people of the world.
And I believe that, and if we're successful, and I believe we will be successful, but if we're successful, we're willing, the opportunity of liberty will go to those people, too. And I think they will grab hold of it. I think the whole, country after country will fall to liberty or stand up to liberty, shall I say, if we're successful.
Hey, both of y'all scholars, everybody that's listening, everybody's participating, everybody's a scholar. Now, this New World Order thing that's in effect and it's happening right now before our eyes, you know, God, what people mean for evil, God can turn around and make it good. You see what I'm saying?
Bible tells us that all things work together for the good of those who believe. So even things that are bad and hurtful to us,
right,
they end up benefiting us. I mean, I look to the hard knocks of my life, and I realize how much all those hard knocks actually benefited me as a person and my life. Okay. All right, well, we're going to move on to the next caller.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and end my conversation with this. God bless everybody.
God bless everybody in the organization.
God bless everybody that's all over the world that's in the same frame of mind that we are, because we still got brothers and sisters, not just only in America, Russia, China. We got people all over the world that's thinking the same way that we're thinking. You follow me?
Amen.
Right.
It is a worldwide problem, and it's going to be a worldwide solution.
Right, so that's why they call it New World Order. And it's going to happen because it's prophesied, but I'm just saying, we part of that, and we got to have our officials back because they've been blindsided, like George Bush Jr. said on TV. He said, yeah, I might have been the president. Yeah, I did this other day. He said, but I was being blindsided too, which he was. So that's how we, the people, have our officials back. You know, like the CEO of Apple, he's trying to let James Comey, of course, get into the Apple phone. They'll be in our phones, woo-woo. That's cool too, but what about the justice that we've been sending up here? Like, it stole my kids. That killed me internally. It might have cut my head off or decapitated me, you know, like the shootings and woo-woo. What about the domestic murder that's going on in America? Like, stealing my kids from me. Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just keep it to myself how I felt and what I wanted to do. But like I said, we got to have our officials back, Liberty Alliance, and we're going to get they back. And if you can petition Congress for we the people that have the same military might, and it's all good. Them boys wouldn't have had a level of organ if they had man for man, tank for tank, plane for plane.
Well, bear in mind, though, we are not petitioning.
We ain't looking for bloodshed.
But bear in mind, we are not petitioning Congress. We're sending Congress orders. We're giving them mandates.
I know, that's right. That's another thing I thought about that was
you,
so tough.
You know? So.
Yeah, I know that's right.
We've got a lot of people right behind you, and it's getting later, so we want to try to get a lot as many people as we can.
Okay, all right.
If you
want to
get back on the
like
mic, hit it again, and you can get back in, come back around again if we get back, you know, to everybody.
All right, love everybody. God bless. We got our officials back. Okay.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, we'll take our next caller, 312, first name and state.
Hey, it's Captain John, Illinois State Coordinator. Good evening, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Before we get going,
I just want to make a mention, you know, what the last caller had brought up. And here's the thing. We are working on enforcement. If the sheriffs step up, the feds will do absolutely nothing. And if they start doing some arrests, let me tell you, they're going to all be running under the rocks. We will, at that point in time, have the upper hand on these people. And that's the key, you know. So the sheriffs have to step up. But go ahead.
Yeah, I drove one of our county coordinators down to the federal building in Chicago today to check on our paperwork. Paulette is 70 years old. She has an extraordinary experience I wanted her to share. So say hello to Paulette. She's going to talk about it.
How you doing, Paulette? Go ahead.
I'm fine. I'm not in jail.
You're not in jail. Well, that's good.
that's what I thought.
Yes.
So I'm just going to make the story short. I talked to a lot of people. Everybody was trying to help me. Nobody could find anything. We didn't have the right numbers. They had no idea what I was talking about. And after about 45 minutes, I was going to be talking to the next up person in the ladder, who I had no idea what that was going to be, but apparently it was the
Thomas Bruton,
the clerk
of the court. She got to the guy.
Okay. All right. So what did the guy say?
He pressed the button, and then there were 8 marshals surrounding me.
Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing?
I think.
You were a danger to them. You know?
Honestly, yes. And the clerk guy never even told me whether they had him or not. He just called for reinforcements because I was probably a terrorist or something.
Right.
And,
we do want to be careful. Let me just alert everyone that's doing this to be careful and, you know, get in and get out. Don't push them too hard. Just get the answers and then move out and do your affidavit. They give you a name, fine. If they don't, that's fine, too. You just clock the time and where you're at and a little bit of information about who the person was, what they look like. But the key thing, the responsible person is the appointed clerk in the federal district. That's the responsible person, and that's the person we're going to hold liable. So, but it doesn't matter. As long as you do the affidavit, you talk to a clerk, and that clerk says they can't find it, it's not there, or whatever, or the judge has it, or whatever they tell you, that's what you write down for your affidavit, and you leave.
Oh, she handles this perfectly. There's more to the story. It gets better.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm all ears on this one.
So then the head marshal, I guess, decided I wasn't, you know, quite such a threat, and four of them left. And can I talk to you? Would you mind coming with me so we can talk someplace a little more private? And said, does this place have bars on the doors? And he said, no, you're not under arrest. And I said, okay. So now four of the marshals and I are marched to the elevator, and we end up in this guy's office. And now we're down to one marshal, as they can see, I'm obviously not a terrorist. And so I sit down at the desk with the what kind of sheriff marshal?
He's a senior deputy marshal.
Senior deputy marshal, right, Mr.
Walenda, like Walenda. The flying Walenda, Walenda, flying Walenda, yeah, Mr. Walenda.
So we must have talked for at least half an hour. He was very nice. He wanted to know if I was a
sovereign citizen.
In the sovereign citizen group, I said no. He said, were you in the Utah situation? I said no.
Burns.
And he said, well, what is your relationship to this Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury? And I just said, I'm a jurist. And he was very interested, wanted more information, and I said, everything we filed was for information, it's learning information. And he said, well, I really would like to know more all about this. And I said, fine, I'll make sure you get it. And then he said, so you know you can file this stuff downstairs and get it stamped as received downstairs in the lobby. He said, let me show you. So I think he was just escorting me out of the building, but he actually showed me the machine.
Right.
And took some paper and shoved it in there, and it said received, blah, 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 blah. And he says, then you take it, throw it in this bin. And I says, where's that go? To the dumpster? I mean, I don't know what's going on. And he says, no. He said, now you've got proof that it was filed. Because you stamp your paper and you stamp our paper, right. And you can hear the throw theirs as a thing, you know. And we've been having anyone over here and blah, 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 blah. So it was kind of an interesting afternoon.
Well, that's an interesting story. So.
Yeah, I'm not even going to tell my kids because they'll have me committed.
Yeah. All right, well, we appreciate you going down and doing that. Just make sure you guys get an affidavit done and tell your story and get it in, and it's not on file, and that's all we need to know. And we'll be handling it the next step from here.
Got it. So I wasn't happy.
Well, at this point, we know that they know that we know. They got the message.
Yes, yes. And that, well, you know, it may not be the U.S. Marshal that's appointed. It probably wasn't, so he may not have been getting our papers, but the appointed U.S. Marshal gets a copy of all of our papers, and whether he shares it with his marshals or not, I don't know. Probably not. Same thing with the special agent in charge for the FBI.
It looks like we might have made a friend with this deputy senior supervising marshal because
I hope you gave him the website. You should invite him. You should say, hey, why don't you come to the Monday night meeting? You know, they're coming to the conference. We'll see what it's all
about. We're going to follow up contact with him on that. He opened the door. We're going to walk through it.
Yep, there you go. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Okay. All right. All right, appreciate the call. We'll see you on the Wednesday night meeting. And
Now you know why we call Paulette the cannon. All right, guys, we're done here.
Thanks for the call. All right, bye-bye. Okay, next call, Rhode Island Jim, it looks like.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, John?
Good.
Well, I finished a transcription today of the court case. When the sheriffs threatened feds for usurping the Constitution, I'll be doing the editing tomorrow, and I should be able to get it sent to Linda either tomorrow or the next day. So,
okay, what is this about now? The sheriff, what?
When the sheriffs threatened the feds for usurping the Constitution.
Okay, where was this?
That was in the, it was California.
Okay. Oh, you're doing some work getting that transcript and everything.
Exactly right.
Oh,
right.
Okay, great.
And that was a great case. So,
that sounds like an interesting one.
You're gonna love it. Eight sheriffs. They're all met in. I'm not sure where it was, but I'm learning so much when I'm doing these transcriptions because it's. There's so many things that the average person in the public has no clue about.
Right. And yeah, I've been spending the last 3 days literally reading through a lot of the different reports that have come in, watching a lot of these videos that are on point and that have been transcribed and putting all this evidence together. So I've been really working at it. And yeah, I'm getting to learn a lot of new stuff too.
Yeah, so just send me
where the authorities are going to be coming from.
So just send me anything you need transcribed. Get it right to me, and I'll get it right back to you.
Okay, well, Linda's been handling that, and I'll be talking with Linda hopefully tomorrow. I got a lot of work to catch up with her.
Yeah,
We appreciate the help.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, thanks
a lot.
Okay,
thanks a lot.
All right. Okay, we're going to take our next caller. It's a 605 number.
Stephanie
from South Dakota. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
A couple of questions here. Now, we had a couple of CPS folks, and they were originally from South Dakota, and then they got child trafficked out of here, and they did some court cases, and we didn't have any court watchers show up, so and then they got their court cases rescheduled, and so we put that in the court watchers, and we're hoping that
you want to get that into the court watchers early, okay, as early as possible, so they have as much time as possible to alert people and get the word out to anybody that's close by, you know.
Okay, and now is there any way to add them to the case with all the affidavits that are going on right now too?
You mean the case in Oregon?
Yes.
Yeah, anybody who's got an affidavit concerning these problems that's going on with crooked courts, their children taken away, their homes being taken away, and all those things, and they're doing affidavits, you can let Linda know that she can put your affidavits into the Oregon case also. So we've got a lot of things. It's not just about Oregon. Now, Oregon is just ground zero. This is about all across America. This is about Agenda 21, ultimately, with the land grabs, particularly what's going on in Oregon. It's all tied into Agenda 21. But it's more than that. It's the fact that we have a criminal judiciary. And the sheriffs need to do what they need to do, because the marshals aren't going to do it. The sheriffs need to do it. But we'll try to convince the marshals to come on board with us.
Okay. Well, and another thing is coming out here April 28th is a Senator Biggs from Arizona that wrote The Con of the Constitution, or The Con of the Con. And so he's going to be doing an event out here April 28th. And we were listening to Liberty Lineup Radio, and we were talking to Garrett Smith. And he had LaVoy Finicum's song on there, the daughter song. And, I mean, he is following, he's the Liberty K-Talk Radio AM 630 in South Jordan, Utah. And so I spoke with him. Garrett called me back, and I sent the information to Jan, but he would love to get you on for an interview.
Okay, yeah, just give him my phone number. It's 845. You got a pen and paper?
Yep.
All right, 845-233-6560. Now, I don't always answer the phone, but, you know, it goes through to Linda, and she usually gets it, and she'll take the message and get that info to me, and I'll get back to him.
Okay, 845-233-6560.
Correct. And, and you know, if he doesn't get anyone, just tell him to call back in an hour or two. You know, usually you should be able to get somebody.
Okay.
You know, just remind him that we're on the East Coast, so the time there's a time difference here. You know?
Okay, yeah, he's okay with that. He's just doing the same thing that we are doing in Liberty, and so he is a great resource for Liberty.
Okay.
Right, and covering Lavoie.
Great, appreciate it.
Okay, thanks so much. God bless you.
Thank you. You too. Okay, let's take next caller. Let's see, it is 415 area code number. You got the mic.
Greetings, everyone.
415.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you. Go right ahead.
All
right.
Give me one sec here to actually... Sorry about that. I was just plugging in my headphones. This is Donaldson. I'm calling from Northern California, everybody. And I just wanted to... Well, first of all, let you guys know that there's been case law that states... There is case law that states that the people of this country are sovereign. And now we're talking really from Afro-Yim versus Rusk, 387 U.S. 253, 1967, in the United States, the people are sovereign, and the government cannot sever its relationship to the people by taking away their citizenship.
Right. Yeah, I agree 100%. We have plenty of law and rulings.
I understand how you feel, sir. I love what you're doing. Just so you know, I'm just trying to do a quick introduction here. I am with the Common Law Advisory Committee. I am on the West Coast.
Okay.
I have access to the law library where they have Shepard's citations. I've been compiling a Google Drive of every case law, piece of case law that I come across that has to do with the grand jury. I've been instructed personally by someone who has given me already at least 30 to 40 different citations regarding the common law grand jury. But not only that, in your basic legal...
Well, you know, if you can, try to get the copy to me. You know, I'll give you
Worried about that. I'm not worried about you not getting it right now, because the thing is, it's not ready.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to get across is, let me just first say this. In Virginia, there was recently a bill proposed by their state legislature to actually allow the non-disclosure of police officer names. Basically, they would not have to disclose, agencies would not have to disclose the names of police officers. That bill got killed. I called to the senator's office today and found out that bill got killed. So just to want a heads up to everyone out there who was ever even heard of that particular scenario. But the other thing is sheriffs. A lot of sheriffs, let me ask you a question, because I do have a question. I'm surfing through my questions right now. Which one's the best one for you real quick, because I want to save time and let the other callers come in. So this is my final comment and question here. This is a tough one. All right. Criminal charges for handing out an indictment, a common law indictment, they have a federal civil grand jury right now, and they have an entire manual, instruction manual, and everything. It's a huge deal. They even reference the Magna Carta in the manual. The reason why I bring it up, people, it's because in the civil side, you have authority to actually be on the jury in there, and it says that they have instructions that the judge is going to tell you about the law and all that. But actually, there's case law that will actually trump what that manual says, okay? Because that manual itself is not the law. So it's very, very tricky. The judge does not have the determination to actually make the law, only to declare it. But my thing is be very careful about handing out criminal indictments as a common law grand jury if you have a status of a citizen of the United States. especially the corporation side. But as you, I don't know if you guys are aware. Let me close with this, and then you can come in with your final with statements, and then go to the next caller. This is surfing one more time here. Okay, the federal constitution does not affect the right of the state. So each state has its own rights to basically adopt whatever of the Bill of Rights they deem most fundamental. Now, I want to close with that. God bless everybody. You guys are intellectuals. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Let me just make a few points on some of those things. We don't adhere to any of these things that they bring up that they may hold us as some kind of a citizen here or something there. We don't even talk about it. We pay no heed to it because it's all fiction, and it's a fraud. The whole thing is a fraud in order to really deceive us, take advantage of us, and really just destroy the Constitution. That's what it's all about. But if you call a fraud, and you deal with it, you just ignore it, and you bring the true law, they just go silent because they can't respond to that. But they love when you argue the point and bring up all these other things, because then they try to make you look like a crazy. And the average person doesn't understand any of this stuff. And when you start talking about fiction and getting involved in all these other things and the way things work and Remington commercial and being a citizen and the Social Security number and all that stuff, they haven't got a clue what you're talking about, and they're scratching their head and they think you're crazy. And at one time, we all thought that maybe, because we had to come to terms to learn about this stuff. But we don't use it at all in anything that we're doing, because we ignore it, and it's fiction, and that is all really. It's just something we'll pay no heed to. Okay, we'll take to the next caller, the 248-705 number.
Hey, John, this is Don from Michigan.
Hey, Don.
Hey, I'm looking for an update on where we are with Sheriff Palmer.
Can't talk about it yet. Next week, I think we'll be talking about it, hopefully.
Okay, well, is he at least still leaning towards us?
Well, if he isn't, he will be. I'm sure of that. They're putting him in a box out there, and he's trying to be very careful. So we're not going to talk about anything right now. Maybe next week we're going to be talking about a lot of sheriffs and a lot of things going on. And the following week we'll talk even more about sheriffs, because I think we're going to have a lot of things happening between us and them. Eventually, you know, he will come to play in this stuff.
So. Okay. So we're
right
behind
him, and he's getting a lot of support, believe me.
Okay. So where we are in that process right now is we haven't gotten to a point where we're even ready to do an indictment.
We're getting very close to it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you.
We're not there yet. I mean, it doesn't make sense to do an indictment and it goes nowhere.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So we have to do it at the right time when we know we got everything set, and then that's it. And once we indict these people, once the indictment goes out, the olive branch is then removed. These people still have the opportunity to do the right thing. And if they don't, well, that's fine. That's their decision, and they'll pay for that, and they'll talk to the jury in trial by law.
So the show cause with opportunity to amend, that's already filed.
We've filed some on a lot of different things, but I don't remember whether we filed. I have to go back and look to see if we actually filed it on the court clerks and the judges. I don't think we have the chief judges. I think we're waiting for the paperwork to come back. On what's been filed in what court and what hasn't. And we suspect that they've taken all the paperwork, but they're not filing it. It's not showing up anywhere because they don't want it to show up anywhere. And if they read the paperwork, it says right on the top of the paperwork, we do have a cover sheet. The cover sheet is a file on demand, and it tells us exactly why we're filing it all 94 courts and why we're filing it with that unique number, okay? And so if they don't understand it, it's just because they just don't read. They don't want to understand it. But that's their problem. Okay, they break the law, they're going to go to jail eventually. Justice will be met, and eventually they will be arrested by the sheriffs and by the marshals. It's going to happen eventually. It's getting close, I think.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we will take our next caller. Let's see, it is 706-631.
Hey, how you doing? Good evening.
Good evening. First name and state.
Yeah, this is Kenny from Augusta, Georgia.
Kenny from Georgia.
I really got two questions to ask you. The first question is, I have in our county here, we have a sheriff who's about to be elected. I'm pretty sure he's going to be our next sheriff. What can I give him or tell him about what your intentions are with the National
Liberty
Alliance?
What you're going to want to tell him, our only purpose is to teach people the Constitution, the law, and also civics and history, and we provide free courses and to train and teach people how to take control of the process, the administration of the courts within their own county.
Now, is there,
and we're here to educate sheriffs. They can come and take these free courses. Just sign up, take the free courses, and get their deputies to do it. And that's what I would tell them to do. Look, if you're going to become sheriff, what do you know about the Constitution, sheriff? And why don't you go out here and see what you can really learn?
Exactly. Now, is there anything that you have on your site that I can give him to read?
Yes. If you send him to the county, powerofthecountysheriff.com, powerofthecountysheriff.com, and that will go to our site on a special page, which is just to address sheriffs. And if he reads that page and follows through, you know, he will be led to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. And he will get a thorough education. And one of the key things he wants to do is look up on the top blue bar and click on one of our courses. He should take the constitutional course first. And then after that, he should take the civics course. And he will be very thankful to have taken those courses, because at the end of those courses, he will really get an education, and he will understand the Constitution much, much better. And it'll become clear to him as he reads it, because we use pure, founding father stuff, United States Supreme Court, decisions, and we use actual law, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Magna Carta, all as proof on the meaning of these things.
So, and you said that was the powerofthecounty.com?
Powerofthecountysheriff.com. Okay.
Sheriff.com.
Yeah. You see, power...
Okay.
I'm putting it in to make sure. Powerofthecountysheriff.com. So anybody that knows a sheriff and wants to give him a place to go to learn, send them to the powerofthecountysheriff.com. And then tell them to take the courses. Just click on the buttons up top, take the courses. And they're free, and they can move at their own pace.
All right, I appreciate that. My other question was... in reference to what you were saying last week, I don't know if you were reading it from somewhere, but it was the Defense of Liberty Enabler Act, which is the executive order to bring the U.S. in compliance with the United Nations Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might have been a paper we were reading earlier on in the evening, but yeah,
okay,
we wrote a paper concerning some of these problems. So.
Well, they said, I guess whatever y'all were reading from was saying it was enacted on February 12th. The only place I could find that online was on a tdtalliance.com, and I went on a whitehouse.gov website to see under executive orders, and I didn't see anything that was...
Okay, you're talking about the latest. You're talking about the latest. The latest what do they call it?
Executive order.
Executive order, and I think there was January 26th or something like that, which is the latest one, where he actually called it an act. So when he talks about it, he talks about signing the act as if it came from Congress, and it's not. It didn't come from Congress. He wrote it. So, yeah, we got evidence that that is a valid order. And they don't want people to see something like that, really, you know, so they kind of hide it.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying, because I didn't see it on the executive orders, because the one on the February 26th is dealing with the functions of the under the Trade Preference Extension Act.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see nothing for the 12th, and the one on the 9th was the Federal Privacy Council, and he signed mm-hmm. another one on the 9th was the cybersecurity. So I didn't.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think the one we're talking about was actually signed the day before Scalia died. So if we can get the date of Scalia dying, it was only a couple of weeks ago, so it was much more recent. It was February, not January. And that was very, very interesting because that came out the day before he died and Scalia died. Scalia would not allow that to stand. That one I know he would definitely have said something. And he was getting ready to make moves, I think. He was very bold. He gave a lot of great stuff to us. And so we owe a lot to Scalia. Versus Williams, and he gave us a recent one that was just done in June 15th, I think, 2015.
Okay, well, I was wanting to make sure because I wanted to read it myself, and mm-hmm. I was just trying to figure out where to find it at, and I couldn't find it except on a website that was like,
well, we've got it, a news report on it, and we did get a copy of it, I'm pretty sure, but we did get the news report on it, and with all the details and the comments from the president, but they don't like that to get out much, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I understand.
Yeah. I mean, look, so they're getting ready to do something hideous, so.
Is it on the site where I could read it? On your
well, yeah, we probably have that evidence paper on the paper itself. If you go up to our news page, okay, it would be on there because it's a paper we filed in the courts. Well, let me think. Did we file that one in the courts? Pretty sure we did. We filed it somewhere, and I'm pretty sure we filed it in the courts. I don't remember whether we filed it with the governors, and I think we did with the governors. So if you just go through the papers and look for the latest papers we wrote. That's it. It was an information.
So go on to news and court filing?
Go to news and just read uh-huh. from there. You'll see the court filings list, and the latest one is first. Or
okay.
vice versa.
Right,
shall I say
that.
The latest one would be last. I'm sorry. So just go down the list to the latest one. I think it's number 13 would have been it. Okay?
Okay, I appreciate that. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, next caller, 843-214.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Hey, I just had a couple of things. One,
first name is Hey.
This is Scott from South Carolina.
Okay, Scott, go ahead.
Sorry. have you heard of or watched any of the Publius Huldah's lectures on the Constitution?
Whose lectures?
It's her name. Her stage name is Publius Huldah, H-U-L-D-A-H.
No, I haven't.
She is really good. She goes into several details. Her background is she has a bachelor's in philosophy, and then she went and got a law degree. But she's a big constitutionalist. And some of the things she came up with was, I thought was pretty interesting, was about us being a Christian nation. There's proof in the Constitution we're a Christian nation.
Oh, there's proof everywhere. Proof in history, proof in our founding fathers, proof in the paperwork, proof in all over the place. Yes, absolutely. Our founding fathers had a lot to say about...
Well, you know when they put in the year of our Lord, July 4th, 1776...
That tells us a lot. Yep.
That tells us everything.
Yes.
Because we were the only nation back then, or one of the few, that it was all Christian nations that went by that time frame. But anyway, she's got some really good lectures out, and I recommend that everybody watch it. her letter.
All right, well, if you can email me a link or something.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Send it to me at nationallibertyalliance.org, you know, John. But also send a copy to Gerard and or Gary, because if I don't get it, one of those guys will get it, and then they'll make sure I got it.
Sure. Okay?
And sure, they're both of them at nationallibertyalliance.org. So.
Yeah, I've got everybody's email address.
Okay.
I email you a lot. I get your auto response, but.
It depends. If you're hitting the mailer, you'll get an auto response, and I probably won't see that one. But if it's by regular email, I still have an auto response, but my auto response is letting people know that I did get their mail and that I get a lot of mail, and
Well, that's basically what it was, and I don't mind, because I know you're busy, and I go ahead and CC, you know, Dan and everybody too.
Right. Yeah, because if something is important, one of those guys will get a hold of me and make sure I get it. You know, especially Gary and Gerard. Gerard usually he gets a lot of stuff, and he kind of filters out what I should know and look at.
Something else I was going to ask you about that I saw coming into the org, this judge, this common law judge, is going into Oregon now and doing investigations with the common law grand jury.
Those are not real judges.
I know. I've been arguing that point to the whole group. I was just wondering how that's going to affect us if they go in there and ruin everything. You know, then that's going to kind of ruin it
well,
for us.
Well, we did an information. We've let everyone know. It was very important that we did do an information. We read it a week or two ago. We sent it in, and that information is up on our news page. If anybody wants to read it, or you can go back and look. I think it was 2 weeks ago we read it. So you can listen to it if you missed it. But those people have a quasi-shadow government going. That is subversion against the United States. We saw that as a threat to us immediately. We understood the connection would eventually be made to us. And so we have a disclaimer up on our webpage, and we also have filed with the federal courts an information concerning this fact. And we also did one response to the group that did this, that had said some things, and we just responded once. I don't respond to schmucks. So people want to throw garbage around, I don't care. I'm just not going to respond to it. But we did respond after 8 months of, saying terrible things about National Liberty Alliance and about me. We just responded. We were trying to be as graceful as possible. But the key thing is what they're doing is going to get them in jail. And if we don't do something, it'll get us in jail. So we did something.
Well, I mean, I've been, I took your email that you sent out here a while back, regarding this common law grand jury and the quasi-government that they're basically under. And I made arguments to a lot of these people about that. And I even broke it down. You know, I showed them, even with Justice Scalia, that says there's no judge in his decision. If you go to the 1215 Project, you can see right there it says there's no judge.
That's the big question right there. Look at it. It's common law. What's a judge doing here?
Yeah, and that's what I told him. I said, the person bringing the suit is the tribunal. Unless the defendant wants a jury trial, then they become the tribunal and they decide guilt or innocence and what damages are.
There are two different processes you can go through law. On criminal law, it must be a jury. Anything criminally must go to a jury. There is nothing else to even talk about. You can't have a judge whatsoever. Now, if you bring a contract dispute into the court, you do have the option of going in before a judge or going before a jury, as long as it's over $20, and pretty much everything's over $20. So, that's the one's called equity. But even equity, when a judge rules under equity, they got to rule under common law. They got to rule according to American jurisprudence, but they don't. And until we bring them back in order, and back on into the Constitution and obedient to the law of the land, they're going to do whatever they want. But we'll get them there eventually.
Have you seen the sheriff, Paul Balboa, I think his name is? Baboon?
That's a familiar name.
He's the one that's talking about, I believe it was, well, he was talking about how they're doing Trump. But he's talking about that the Congress and everybody needs to stick to the law, to follow the law and the Constitution. He looks like he's a pretty good sheriff.
Yeah, we do see some good sheriffs out there on YouTube doing the right thing, and we'll be getting to them. You know, we're going to work across the country with these sheriffs, but we're starting off out west because that's where all the action's going right now.
That's where we're needed most.
Yes. So.
Okay, well, that's pretty much all I have. I appreciate your time.
Okay, appreciate the call. Thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller is 770. Here we go.
Hey, John, it's Randall. How are you tonight?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm got my ups and downs like everybody, but I've been kind of slow on my end trying to hold the district position with you all. I talked to Ron today and told him I had a lot of things going on in the fire. I was just called by the deputy sheriff last week. And after 4 years fighting for my grand young, and they're finally letting me go in to see the grand jury.
Uh-huh.
There's some things there I'm not clarified on. I told them, look, I said, you know, I'm wanting an investigation by the grand jury because the sheriff won't do it. I don't know if he's scared or what, but he won't do it. Right. And they said, well, Randall, you bring all your evidence into the grand jury, and they'll decide if you get enough there for true bill or no bill. I said, okay. I said, but look, I want to prosecute this thing myself. I said, so I'm looking to do this under common law. And I heard you telling the other gentleman earlier tonight, you know, that a prosecutor or a judge, whatever, might be able to call the Constitution grand jury in, the administrators. Well, if they're going to let me prosecute my own case here, would I be entitled to see about getting you all involved? And
well, you can argue that you want to taint a grand jury that's not tainted, and you don't want a grand jury that's instructed. You don't want a You don't want a trial jury that's instructed, and you don't want a trial jury to be told what the law is. They get to decide the law. Now, the judge is not going to go along with this, so it's going to be a problem.
Right. They, like I said, they're telling me that I want to. They're taking the prosecutor names off of the paper, and they're putting me down as prosecuting my own case.
Really? That's very interesting.
Yeah, they said they've never done this before, but I drove enough spite in them that, you know, they don't know which way to turn.
Right.
And
well, then you can make sure that this trial jury, if you're going to try your own case and get in there, and this is a criminal case, right?
Well, they took the baby under color of law, so yeah.
Well, here's the interesting thing. You haven't seen the grand jury yet, and they haven't indicted. Remember, they're going to you probably won't get your case in. They probably figure the fix is in. I won't tell them anything. Let them think.
No, I got to meet with them March 21st. I meet with the grand jury to show all my evidence. And
all right, well, you want to go in there, and you want to bring in, you know, the common law. You want to talk about the Constitution. You know, you want to really prepare for this. And by the way, you know, when you're in there is no reason for any kind of a prosecutor or anybody. You want to see them alone. So you
no,
can ask
I,
the prosecutor.
No, I asked the prosecutor, too, the DA. And they said the DA is just going to be there long enough to make sure none of the people that are selected actually know me. So there's no conflict there.
Yeah, so you get a chance to talk to them, and that's a good thing. And I'm very surprised they're going to let you do this and that this is going the way it's going. So it's very interesting.
Well, they understand I've been studying the Constitution, common law, and I'm affiliated with the NLA and what have you. They understand I've done all this stuff. I've studied 4 years under Bill Thornton and Carl Lance and did your civics course and everything. And,
the giants out there then. Good.
Yeah, I they know I'm not a weak one to play with in this court. They had me in a land situation, and I knocked out a expert real estate lawyer, and now I got a bank lawyer wanting to dismiss himself out, and Couple other lawyers, actually, or six to start with. I'm down to three, and I'm hoping to get it down to the last two that I want to go after. And I imagine being the biggest bank lawyer bailed out, the little bank lawyer is going to want to bail out, too. Mm-hmm. So that's all working that way, too. But anyway, that's what I was driving at. I got to meet this jury on the 21st of March, and I want to see about them doing this because the grand jury is supposed to act under common law anyway.
What is this?
It's Georgia.
And the county and the
yeah,
state
it's gonna
and the court?
Be it's gonna be in the Superior Court of Pike County.
Wow.
And I I've been hammering at these people. Even the DA, when all this stuff first started, he said, Randall, we see we done wrong, but we're not gonna do nothing about this. I thought that was pretty sorry. So, you know, a couple of years went on.
Yeah.
I kept studying and everything, and I ended up going in on the commissioners. I read a Supreme Court news release on my daughter's appeal, and that only comes from information that comes from the appellate court that was given to them through briefs through the lawyer. And I took the copy of the newspaper and gave it to the commissioner. I actually bought him a copy. And I took records I had from the court records. And I said, looky here, the newspaper says my daughter was mentally slow. I said, see this paper here, a court record? It says it was proven that she's not ADHD, she's not bipolar, she's not mentally retarded, she's got a good IQ. And I said, this next paper here on the same court record, the pediatrician don't know how the information got inserted or put in place into pediatric files stating my daughter was mentally retarded. I said, you see this and what the newspaper says? I said, we got a bad problem here, and you need to do something about it. So he sent all this off, including a transcript that I had that was withheld as evidence from a lawyer I had hired because he was part of the problem. And I gave him a copy of that transcript as well, and that cost me $550. And
wow.
And then I went to the mayor's office here a couple
How many
weeks
pages
ago.
Was that? $550.
Yeah, $550. I'd actually have to get it off the bar and look at it. It's 700 and some pages. And
they got some nerve to charge that kind of money, you know?
Yeah, I know. It was ridiculous. But I paid it to have it because I was recovering from my heart surgery. And I had to miss that day in court, so I asked him if I could pay for the transcript. He said, yeah, I'll get the transcript for you. And that was when I hired that sleazeball lawyer. And but he did get the transcript, so he didn't realize I was going to use this, all this stuff against him. And then I took the civil paper he drew up against his judge for denying us due process when it was filed for. I said, you denied us life, liberty, and property. I said, Article 3, Section 2, just like you all got it down. I said, when a judge or a magistrate does this under color of law, he created a felony. So I took all this stuff down that I took to the commissioner's office, and I went to the mayor's office and just crashed in on one of their meetings. The meetings are open to the public, but I just crashed into it. Wasn't prepared or nothing. I took this stuff in. I gave a few statements, and I told them, look, I said, I was asked what it was I wanted. I said, damn it, I said, I've been looking for an investigation on this for a long time now. I said, I'm tired of it, and I'm not waiting no longer. I said, something's got to be done. I said, so next Monday or next Thursday, when you have the next mayor meeting of the next month, I'm going to contact all the local churches that live in this area. And I'm going to ask the people, the congregations, because I grow a 3-acre garden every year and give the vegetables to the churches, give it away. And I said, I'm going to ask all the people in the congregations in these churches to come to the next mayor meeting, and I'm going to have them listen to all the evidence I'm going to put in your lap. And I said, you're the mayor of this county. I've got a 30-year-plus clean police record, never been in trouble. I was a paratrooper, honorably discharged, not on drugs. And you know, I've lived in this county for over 25 years, and I paid over 25 years in property taxes. And I said, you all extorting, telling me you extorted my tax dollars? I said, you know, we don't have a right to an equal protection. I said, that's fine. Let me know. I'll load my own gun. But other than that, I feel like we're owed something. I said, this is a felony, and it was committed. And this is kidnapping and child trafficking. I said, I've been in touch with Congressman Win Westmoreland's office. I've been in touch with Senator David Perdue's office. And I said, I'm going right on down the chain of command, and I'm kicking the doors down. I'm putting the evidence in your hands, and that's all there is to it. And now you can deny it in front of all these people who have you in here as public representative. I said, you know, that's on you. I said, but if I don't get an investigation on this, expect me back. A week later, I got a call from a detective in the deputy sheriff's office there, and he said, Randall, the DA and the sheriff agreed to call in the grand jury, and you're going to meet with them on the 21st of March at 9 o'clock in the morning. And you get to present your evidence, present your case. I said, I'm telling you something. The DA leaked out on me. He said he knew I was done wrong, but he wasn't going to do nothing about it. I don't want the man involved in my case. I said, I'll prosecute the case myself, but I'm going to prosecute it under common law.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, so, look, at when you get through this case, definitely let us know how these things go. But, you know, we can't spend too much time, and we do have other callers on the line right now, so we got to move on. But
I understand.
You know, I am interested in the you know, try to keep it short when you bring it back on what took place and how things.
Well, one
went.
Of the things
I'm
I
very
did
intrigued
take,
by it. So
one of the things I did also put out as evidence with these other papers I told you about was a civil action suit the lawyer drew up against the judge, because after the rights were signed over to me. They took my daughter in 5 months later and terminated her rights and said I didn't have any.
Hmm.
And one of the
things... Well, that just became a federal case and a federal offense. So,
right, you know. And the civil action case, he put on his show as a lawyer would. He tore up the paper in that court, but I ran downstairs to the clerk of the court and got my own stamped copy of the original copy. And it says on paragraph 8, he's going to create my family a considerable amount of harm if he denies us the due process, and he denied the due process. So, you know, I even put that in their laps as well. So that way it's on paper that we were denied due process.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's why I ain't been able to get involved too much. I've been hammering on this and fighting this and all kinds of things. I talked to Ron today, too, and I told him I just ain't able to. I'm going to be down for the next couple of weeks because of this. I got to prep for it, get my evidence in order and everything else, and I just can't be mobile anymore right now. And I think he understood. But anyway, I think it's a good thing, because if I can get this thing blowed down, that's a foot in the door for us, I think. And
yeah, it's very interesting. I'm interested to know the outcome. But all right, but we do have to move on, because we've got other people here and it's getting late. So
all right, thank
you. We appreciate the call, and keep us in touch. You know, keep us up to date on this. And
I'll do that. I'll get a hold of James or Jan or somebody. I'll pass information on as it goes.
Okay.
And I'll keep you all in touch.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, John.
All right. Okay, let's take our next caller. It looks like Greg. Greg P. Greg P. with a Gmail, coming in on Gmail. I know you were in earlier and you didn't answer. Star 6, well, there you go. Some kind of noise just came through your mic. Greg?
Hello.
We're hearing something very faint.
About now, is it better?
Oh, I can hear you talking, but it's extremely faint. You got to get into your mic settings and raise your mic or something. We'll get your mic closer to your mouth. That'll help. I faintly hear something.
Okay,
but
can you hear me any better now?
It's getting better now. What did you do?
I'm pushing the mic into my mouth.
Well, it's getting better, so.
I've got two quick questions. Well, I got a thing on one of the classes, and I sent an email, but I got an auto reply back, and I didn't know where to do it. I'm taking the civics course, and I'm on section 8, and I thought I answered the questions correctly, and I went over it 3 times, and it won't let me get past that on the...
Carl, are you on the line? That's something for Carl, see if he's here.
Anyway, it's actually section 7, procedure lecture part 8, with Bill Thornton.
Okay, what you want to do is get a hold of one of the national coordinators. If you see Carl's phone number up there, call him, because he's the guy that'll fix that. And Also, you can talk with Gary. You know, you should be able to get a hold of Gary or Jan. But just get a hold of someone and get them the information very specifically, and they'll make sure Carl gets it, and if there's anything to be repaired. But I think usually, did you clean your catch and you cleaned out your browser?
No, I'm going to have to do that, I guess. I'll give that a try.
Yeah, because sometimes that cleans it up, because we haven't had very many problems with the course. Just occasionally there's a quirk with the browsers. Usually there's something in there, you know, it's got to be cleaned out. What kind of browser do you use? Using Firefox or Microsoft?
Yeah, Firefox.
Okay, yeah, that should work pretty good. So.
Okay, I'll clean it up just to make sure, and then if I have issues, I'll
Go online. There should be, a troubleshooting page where you can read through and see the type of problem you have, and then there should be some solutions up there. I'm pretty sure we do have a troubleshooting page on that. But other than that, get a hold of Carl.
Okay. And I've never had an issue until this unit, so
Yeah, you're going to want to get in and adjust your mic also, though. You know, try to find the controls if you don't know where they're at, and raise the volume. You know, set it on automatic, because that's what most of us do, and it's self-adjusting usually. And if that doesn't work, then your mic's shot and you need another mic.
Okay. And also, one other thing was, have you ever heard of Judge David Wynn Miller?
No.
Okay, he's a proponent of correct sentence structure, communication, parse syntax grammar.
I heard something about, I think it's called syntax grammar, where you have to do certain things in your writings and run a certain syntax grammar. And I don't know much about it, but I never got involved. It didn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, it was. I'm just kind of in listening to it, and basically, he says the sentence structure that's in everything in our legal system is all fraudulent because of the structure of the sentence.
Right. I know. I've had some people trying to sell me on that, but I don't buy it. Because look at, we go in and we ignore the fraud, we deny the fraud, we call it what it is, a fraud and a crime, and we want to get a court of justice going, and that's the attitude we have. We're no nonsense with it, and that's it. They can do whatever they want with our papers. It's just all they're doing is mounting up evidence against themselves for the indictment. That's all they're doing, and they can continue to do that as much as they want. But the day's coming. It's close.
Okay. Anyway, I just wondered if you'd heard about him. That's all I know.
Yep, I heard about it. And not him particularly, but I have been introduced to that by a few people, and I just don't buy it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller. Let's see. 509 area code. You got the mic. 509 area
code. Hi, this is Rhonda from Washington State.
Ron from Washington?
Just a quick question. Yes.
Okay.
Just a quick question. When we do end up getting into the courts, which I'm sure we will this year, very sure of that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm pretty well convinced this is the year. Okay.
Will the jurist that we employ, use, however you want to put it, will they have to be citizens? Is that a requisite for them to be a juror?
If they got a pulse and their blood, you know, the blood is pumping through their body, they're good. Doesn't mean nothing to us. You know, whatever they want to call themselves. They want to call themselves sovereigns. They want to call themselves people. They want to call themselves citizens. Whatever they want to call themselves. You know, when I'm in a court, personal cases, I always use people. And, of course, we use we the people when we write the papers as the grand jury. And that's the best. That's the most powerful position you can have, is we the people. Second to that is
more
of
what
I'm thinking.
More of what I'm thinking of is the illegals versus legal.
Yeah, we ignore all that. It's a fraud. Yeah, all of that stuff is a fraud. It's all hocus pocus that they've created to create their fiction, and to play their word games and hide things and just play with words and change the meanings. Look at, you know, if you go into Title 26, and Title 26 is huge. And you go up, look at the definition of the United States, and you'll find it's everything but the 50 states. You know, they'll list the territories, Guam, Puerto Rico, and this and that, and all kinds of things, Philippines, different things, other names for different territories, and that's the United States, you know. And then you go read the article, you know, U.S. Code 26, you start reading some of the stuff, and it talks about things in the United States, and people think they're talking about the United States of America, and it's not. And they played a citizen game in there. They played a people game in there. They played a corporation game in there. You know, people are corporations, persons are corporations, and all this other stuff. It's all fraud. That's all it is. Yeah.
John, I think she's asking if an illegal alien wants to be on the jury, can they?
If we would find
coming across the border.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see that would be, that person would be able to do that. No. If someone is not legally in the country, obviously they couldn't sit on the jury because that in itself is a fraud and breaking of the law. So, and we do have a serious problem with that here in this nation. And I know Ron Paul had a couple of good ideas on how to deal with it. But it's a problem that we have to deal with, and I'm not sure how we're going to clean that problem up. One of my big concerns is you have these people that have been in our country for a long time, and then they have children here, and the children are American. They're born here. They talk like us. They're American. And now, what do you do with them? You know, you what do you do with the parents? It's a crime almost, you know? And it gets stuck into the compassion thing, and, you know, so... we got to pray for wisdom to deal with all these problems. We got to pray for wisdom and see how things go. Right now, we need to get our country back, our nation back, and put all these people in jail, and then that's a problem we're going to have to deal with and pray for wisdom. Yeah. You know?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let us take our next caller is 415. Give us your first name and your state. 415-286, first name and state. And by the way, if anybody wants to get in the queue, we only got a couple of people in the queue, so have a good time.
Yeah, sorry about that, you guys. This is Donaldson again. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm calling again from Northern California. And I just called back in, actually. I'm just concerned. I want to address one thing. First of all, I want to address one thing. One caller said, see, I'm from the Common Law Advisory Committee, yes? And so I need to do some advisory committee action right here, real quick. It's really interesting how to enforce a common law. Well, you said it a minute ago, and I think you're going to concur with what I have to say. It's basically that in order to enforce a common law, you have to basically nullify what they're doing. So by showing what they're doing is wrong, you then can enforce what is natural, you know, what is supposed to be, what is basically, you know, I don't know.
Well,
how would you say that?
Whenever we go in and write the papers and put the information in, they never rebut it. They don't answer it, and when they refuse to answer, that's fraud in itself, and this is a fraud.
Another one of your callers actually mentioned that he was going to be having some sort of, you know, communication with a grand jury, which to me means it's a civil grand jury, and he needs to look at the federal manual for this, you know, instruction manual for the grand jury, so that way I understand that you're trying to promote the common law grand jury, but because of the... I have a duty to inform him because I have that knowledge, especially as a common law advisory committee guy, that if I take a leadership vow, I have got to inform people of the correct way to do the common law. have to.
Well, bear in
and
mind,
on this
bear,
call is the best
mind,
place to do it.
Bear in mind, any place where you have things that are written, when it starts to put people into a box and requirements, I've seen a lot of these books on grand juries and different things, and I get bored to tears on with them. And it goes on to this, and who needs that? What you need, people need is principles. That's all they need, principles. They need to get a good understanding, a brief understanding. It's 6-8 hours with these people.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Common law, what's going on.
But what about Erie Railroad versus...
They have to step up. Look,
Tompkins.
We, the people, are greater than that. Are you talking about Erie? The Erie case?
Yep.
Yeah, I read that case recently, and that case was an administrative case, and it went to the Supreme Court, and people don't realize that, and it was an administration case, and it has nothing to do with anything. It clearly has nothing to do with common law, and so the whole thing was a ploy. I've seen some cases.
No, absolutely. It doesn't have anything to do with common law, but it does state that there is no federal common law, and that's kind of in a...
That's not true. That's null and void.
How is it null and void again?
They didn't have the right to go forward because they agreed with the administrative process, and that's what the Supreme Court was really saying. But they didn't make it clear. You have to read very carefully in these papers, and all of a sudden you say, whoa, this is an administrative case. It was heard by an administrative judge. They're appealing it over to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court looks at that and says, well, oh, wait a second, you already agreed. They didn't come out and make that clear, that they've already agreed to the administrative case, and the case was judged, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Stuck to it, and they denied it. So the guy was unable to get through. Look at it. If you get injured and you go and you make the deal with the administration, and I've seen this administrative courts all over the place where people are injured, a lot of Social Security cases and different things, and they're signing all their rights away. And there is an appeal. There is an appeal process, okay, but they're always going to throw it away. Every time, because you can't appeal an administrative case except for within the administrative system. And once you exhaust that, you try to get into the Supreme Court to bring it into common law or to get a trial by jury or to get a rehearing of the case, it's not going to happen.
Hey, check it out, though. Check it out. I know. Let me interject. Listen, guys, email me, secondsonofdonald@gmail.com. I'll give you access to a file, a folder that I have, administrative proceedings. It's fantastic because it basically, I mean, I'm just asking people to please contact me if you want that so I can share it with you. Because what was the thing you just said? I'm sorry, I was just distracted. I'm literally in Chinatown and someone was just yelling at me. I'm trying to avoid that person.
Common law is all about the facts. Okay, that's what it's about. It's about the facts. And the only time law is really applied is when you're dealing with someone that is an elected individual. You know, look at the code violations for someone, for instance, acting under the color of law. You can go after someone and use that U.S. codes against them because, hey, look, they've been given a certain authority. They abused that authority and came to you under a different jurisdiction, under the color of law, you know, make them believe there's something that they're not, and they injured you, you see. So those places you can use these things. But when it comes to a case, you know, a criminal case or anything of that nature, they don't need to play the law game. All we need to know is what happened, what took place, because the people...
Well, first of all, how can there be a criminal... Let's just clear this up real quick. How can there be a... Let's just clear this up. How can there be a criminal federal indictment? It doesn't make sense. Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, Rule 2, clearly state there's one type of... civil action. For federal rules of civil procedure, of course, it's the civil action. But as far as criminal, do you know, I mean, like, how are they using the 14th Amendment? How are they using the 14th Amendment? Where are they coming from? If the 14th Amendment itself is not real law, because, first of all, it wasn't ratified, only 21 states, actually.
Right, but the 14th Amendment, when you read through it, it's a play of words. And if you just apply logic and apply the existing Constitution and the law to it, you will find that you can use it for its face value to mean what it means, what it should mean, and not what they want to make it mean. You know, they want to make it as some kind of a subservient citizen or something. And look, it's a fraud. It doesn't count. It doesn't mean anything. It has no merit. And when you go in there and you talk to these people and you call it for what it is and you just keep going and moving on, they don't even know what to do. They don't know what to do because they don't get people who challenge those things to begin with. So, and it looks like you dropped off or something. If you're still in the room, you can click the button and get back on the mic. There's only a couple of people on the mic coming up. Anybody that wants to get into the Q&A, we still got 35 minutes or so, and we only got a couple people in the queue, so if you got a question you want to get in, now's the time. Okay, 714.
Hey, John, I just wanted to take a moment to, I've been listening to, you've made some change. I don't think you're on a mic. You sound like you're in the other room or down the hall, and it's been the last few weeks.
Okay. Well, hold on a minute. Let me see. Jan, am I coming clear to you or anybody else that's got an open mic out there?
It's your amplitude. Yeah. Your amplitude is low. You don't sound as good as Robert or Gary.
But let me see how they hear me. Do you guys hear me okay, or am I coming in low?
You come in loud enough, but your voice is different than it was on the other side.
Yeah. Yes. In fact, Jan sounds...
Okay.
Jan sounds better than you do.
This week, what I will do is I will go and get a hold of technical assistance and help work through my mic to make sure I get it adjusted right. But okay, I'll see what I can do.
Because I think that people don't hear you as clearly as they could. Sometimes sentences trail off. And in the last part of this call, I was just looking at the who's online, and we lost 50% of the people. So I don't know what's going on, but I think sometimes the Q&A is you have some of the more interesting. Well, you have extremely interesting points. Come on, and it's all educational, and you need to be heard like you've been heard before. I think it's critically important. And you know how the guy from what was his name? His name was the guy from Georgia, whose name was he called in a couple of times, Gary P. or something like that. And he persisted, and you and he were almost at about the same volume from where I'm hearing. Now, I've let it go for a couple of weeks, hoping it would self-correct, but I felt, well, maybe you should hear it from someone.
Right. Okay, yeah, I'll check on my mic and try to make that work. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Better,
bye.
Anyway. All right, thank you. All right, let's take our next caller. Let's see. It is... D from PA. I think we had you earlier and we couldn't get you. DEE from Pennsylvania, it looks like. And Jen, do you know how to adjust the mic on this thing?
Yeah, there are some controls on it, but I'm using Skype, so I use the Skype controls. It's a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm not using Skype, so. Okay, I'll figure it out for next week then. I'll fix it. Okay, D from Pennsylvania, you got the mic. One more call from D-E-E from Pennsylvania, hotmail.com email address. Okay. Maybe your mic is muted. All right. We'll get back into the queue if you want. There's only a couple of people there. Okay, we'll take our next caller. 810 area code. Go ahead. You got the mic. 810. Yep. What's your first name and your state?
Yeah, it's Jody calling from Michigan. I just want to get, I got a couple things I just would like to see about here. Can I just clarify, are you using court watchers and courtroom observers?
Well, I believe the name we have is courtroom observers.
Courtroom observers. Okay. Right. Is Court Watchers, the one with that PJ from Hawaii?
I don't know. You'd have to ask over some of the people from the on the committee for courtroom observers. They might know, but I don't know.
Oh, I thought I had heard someone named PJ from Hawaii talk from courtroom.
Yeah,
from
that was a long, long time ago.
Oh, okay. So you're not using her anymore?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I was told otherwise, like...
she was the head of the committee at the time, Jim?
No, she was just a guest lecturer one night.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, because I was told otherwise by Eric from Courtroom Observers. He had said that he was not, he said that he got kicked out of NLA.
Right, yeah, there were some problems, and he decided to go with the route with the problems, and we dismissed him. I mean, he could still be a member. We didn't kick him out as a member, I don't think, but we did take him off of any authority.
Okay, well, okay.
And I believe he did have the name Courtroom Observer. What do we use? We use Observers or Watchers?
We use Observers, yes.
Observers, so he used Watcher then. Yeah.
No, he uses Observers. Well, he did help me out with my case.
Oh, and, yeah, he was very good. We're sorry we lost him.
I just want to say it really does make a huge, huge difference to have somebody, go to court with you and look out for you.
Absolutely. Look, he was a great guy. He put a lot of time into things. I liked him, personality-wise. He knew his business and what he was doing. He was really operating our process well. But then we had some problems with people who became problematic, and he decided to take a stand with them, and they were exact opposite of what we were doing, and we couldn't tolerate it. And he dug his feet in with them, and so we dismissed him from his position. But he is welcome to be a member of National Liberty Alliance. We try not to deny anyone access.
Can I ask what committee he was on? Was he on an advisory committee?
No, he was with the Courtroom Observers or Watchers Committee.
Oh, okay, because I know he does know a lot about the common law. And
He learns quite a bit from us. So.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because he doesn't, now he won't interact with me anymore to give me, he said he was going to do a habeas corpus for me, but now I can't get hold of him, he won't call me.
Well, I don't think he's capable of doing a habeas corpus. To my knowledge, I mean, unless he really got some really big education in the last, I don't know, 8 months or so, I don't know that he knows what to do with a habeas corpus.
Okay, all right. Also, now, Linda, can I get a number for her? Is that the number you had given earlier, that 845 number?
Well, you know, if you call me and it rolls over to her, you'll get her, but then you'll get her number from her. Do we have Linda's number? You see, I got three numbers, and I got to talk with her tomorrow to find out which one she would want me to give out. So I don't want to give out the number that she doesn't want me to give out. So, if you need to get her tomorrow, call in, and if I do pick up and you're saying you're looking for Linda, I'll just tell you to call back and I'll let the call go through.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm having trouble. I don't know if it's just my phone that got hacked into, but I'm unable now to get onto the website page. And
which website? You mean our website?
Yes, I had. Yeah, and my phone always gets hacked into, and your guys' website, it was always freestanding. I could always access it and get into it, no problem. Now I cannot. So I don't know if it's just my phone or if other people are having problems too. I talked to one other person that told me they had problems too, so I didn't know how widespread it was or if it's just something locally where I'm at or what, just me.
Yeah, it probably is just a quirk for some people for a while. I'm sure it'll clean itself up, but I'm not aware of any problems.
Okay. Now,
if you'd like Linda's number, she just gave it to me.
Okay.
You have a pen handy?
Yes.
Okay, it's 509-592-4553.
Thank you both.
Okay.
Thank you both.
So anybody that needs to talk with Linda, make note of that instead of calling through my number. It's 509-592-4553.
Right. Okay, yeah. Thank you. And one other question. If I don't know, I'm unable, like I said, to, you know, do a lot of things with my phone, so it really limits me. Can I ask a question to get some clarification? Because I don't know, and I'd like to learn. This stance with that lady judge from Alaska.
Anna Van Ritz.
Right, right.
Well, Anna Von Ritz.
Von Ritz.
Yeah.
Okay. What exactly is her position if she's a legal advisor to the Pope? And how does that affect?
You know, that's a very good question, because we have heard that very early on. You see, we heard some news about her, about her connection with the Pope, and then there was nothing for a long time, and then we heard some other stuff about her, and she'd written some papers, and we just tried to figure out who she was, and we could never find out who she really was. And a few months back or so, I don't know, 6 months or so, all of a sudden she surfaced, and now, you know, you can get pictures of her and everything else. So she kind of came out of the from behind the scenes or whatever it is that she was doing, I don't know. But she wasn't available. Then we discovered that she wasn't a real judge, that she was a self-appointed judge, and she's involved with a group, a quasi-shadow government group that are building another government, shadow government alongside our government. They're electing or appointing, and they're self-appointing themselves, really, President of the United States, governors, U.S. Marshals, and judges, and all kinds of people. And we have no part with anything like that, because that is indeed subversion against the United States of America. You know, we believe that, our government is still there and intact. It is still there and it's intact. The problem is we have criminals who have taken control of our government and have key positions, and they've got the controls. But it's a matter of time before that is dealt with legally. It's a criminal problem is what we have, but it is subversion from enemies, domestic and foreign. Within our own government. But what they're doing, this other group of people, is the same thing. That too is subversion. It is not the proper way to go, and they could end up in jail, and I think eventually they will. I think the government is kind of waiting to collect as many people as they can, because they're going out getting people to join with them, and they're trying to use them. I believe the government is just sitting back, and I think they probably have agents working inside that group, and just gearing it along, and at some point when they think they've reached the point where the growth isn't happening no more, they're going to go out and arrest them all. And now, it's not necessarily fair that they arrest all those people, because they're all being duped by a few people. And now the few people that are duping them, you know, I don't know that they're really, you know, they're looking. They got problems that they fall into this. To me, it's kind of crazy. But they've fallen into this thing, and they think it's going to help save America. So they do kind of have good intentions. You can't take that away from them. But what they're doing is a very serious problem, and they're getting a lot of people. Going to get a lot of people in trouble. So we had to do a paper to separate ourselves from them, because they started to attach us, our name, with them. I mean, we have nothing to do with that kind of thing. So.
Well,
anyway.
I was checking out her website today, and it did say that she, you know, is, you know, legal for the Pope. I couldn't access the whole website, but she's got everything listed that she's done paper-wise, including three communications to either you or NLA. And, you know, I mean, it looks like she's doing a lot of good things that the country needs to be aware of, that will help the people and wake us all up. But Mike, you know, and that reminds me of what the Bible says about, you know, well, I don't know if it specifically says it in the Bible, but I've always learned that the church would be chastised first, and then the world would be chastised after that for judgment.
Judgment begins in the house of God, absolutely.
Right, that's it, thank you. And that reminds me of, when I saw that, it reminded me of that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and then if she's working for the Pope, though, I'm like wondering how, is she a foreign agent, or what is the relationship there? I think
I don't know. I would, you know, again, it's a guess for me, and And I don't, you know, I'm not interested in taking any guesses. And I'm just trying to keep a separation from what she's doing and other people working with her and what we're doing. There's a separation here. And I want to keep it that way because we just not compatible in any way. It's like trying to put water and oil together. We are going through the process of pure common law, which is what we were born on. America was born on common law, the Constitution. The Declaration, the beginning of our nation, was born from common law, right out of the Magna Carta. And Thomas Jefferson, you know, put this whole nation together. He was the guy who framed this nation, and he did it out of history. And it comes out of, ultimately, the government. Our government is framed and formed as Israel was in 1400 B.C. for 400 years. They had 400 years of great success and until they wanted a king. When King Saul became king, it was about 1000 B.C., then it all fell apart. Then they lost grace with God and everything just went haywire. You know, here, this is what America was built upon, was really one nation under God. The king of our court is the Lord. That's who the king of our court is. It's God. And we're to operate under his principles with a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. Once people start to bring in things outside of that, we can't participate with it because that's not common law. And common law, you know, we have our common law, American common law, like any other nation, would have a contract with their servants, which we call it's a constitution. And in that constitution, there are seven articles. Each one of those articles is a contract with our government. And that's how we're to operate under that contract. When they break outside of that contract, they're avoiding their position. They're operating under jurisdictions that they've never been given. And they're coming under the color of law and doing things that they've never been given the authority to do. And that's where we're at with our nation right now. We've got to bring them back into the box. As Jefferson said, chain them down with the chains of the Constitution. And that's what we're going to do.
John, is there such a thing as a continental marshal?
Well, you know, there was the continental, you know, back in... goodness, in the beginning of our nation, and I don't know if there was a marshal or not. You know, the first marshals that I'm aware of came by was appointed by President Washington, and he was given that power and authority by the legislature, who was given the power and the authority under Article 1, Section 8, where they had the authority to do legislation to create the judiciary under a certain process. And so they defined it all under the Judiciary Act of 1789. And so when George Washington became president, 3 months into his term, the Judiciary Act was in place. And then he acted, which he had to, because it was up to him to appoint federal marshals for all federal districts. So he appointed, I don't know how many federal districts they had back in those days, but I know Jefferson and others argued that... I think back in those days, I think it was a 3-day journey or is the maximum that someone should travel in order to get to a courthouse. But it might have been less than that, but I think it was 3 days. And so, however, that worked out, you know, that's how many district courts they would have created. So the first marshals that I'm ever aware of in the United States was the ones that Washington appointed back in 1789.
So then what is the difference between them and the U.S. Marshals?
Well, that is the U.S. Marshal. The U.S. Marshal, there's one appointed U.S. Marshal for every single federal district, just one. And he is appointed by the president and can be removed by no one but the people themselves. The president can't even remove him. And he can only be removed by indictment. It's the only way he could be removed. And as long as he's obeying the law, he won't be removed by the people. Now he can. He has like other marshals that are deputies, and he'll get as many as he believes he needs, and he'll get budgeted for that. So if he needs 10 or 20 or 50 or whatever it is that he thinks he needs, you know, they'll work out that budget. That's already been pretty much established. You know.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, I'm learning some things. I really am here, big time. I'd like to ask another question. I don't know if I'm going to step, you know, how it's going to be received. I feel like when I ask this question to people that I just sense some negativity, you know, like coming back at me.
Well, hopefully we won't throw you in a negative vibes. Go ahead.
All right. By doing research, I learned that there is somebody called a Black Pope. Are you familiar?
I've heard that before, but I never looked into it. I have no clue. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means, and I've never had the interest to explore it because it didn't. It's nothing that I thought I needed to know. You know. It's not something. It doesn't seem to be something that's common knowledge. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean?
Right. I was actually shocked when I found out about it. I was learned about it while doing some research. And would you like me to just briefly tell you what I found, or?
Yeah, if you can make it quick, because we have two other callers and we're running close to time. But go ahead.
Okay. Basically, it's always a person in this position. I think they're appointed until they die or retire or whatever. So there's always a person there, but it's somebody that is like above and beyond the Pope, like Francis or Paul or whoever it is at the time, who's above them and who has great influence over the Pope behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I knew I'd have no interest in it.
Well, the thing that's really the bad thing is about it, though, is that I read quite a bit on this entity, and I believe all of our problems are stemming from that one person because of the role that they take.
Well, look at it. We do know that there's spiritual wickedness where? In high places.
That's right.
There you go. So it probably is generating some stuff out of there. And again, I don't pay... No heed for me.
If you want to know your enemies, I mean, the trickle-down effect, it's like, who's your neighbor and even some of your family?
Well, yeah, that's true to some degree. You know, it is true you should know about your enemy, but you don't have to know too much about them. But our real enemy is right here in America. Our real enemy is the people that we've elected to take on positions.
Well,
that have abused it, so...
Right, but exactly, John. But the thing is, believe it or not, I mean, the Catholic Church is all over the world.
Well, I understand. Yeah, there are powers behind the powers. Look, we know that the president is not the president of the United States. He's a dictator, and he is controlled. He's a puppet. He's controlled by an oligarchy, a small group of foreign bankers, ultimately, and that's
right.
What controls America through, look, we already know that.
But they're doing all their damage, right.
But the people they're using to do the damage, once they start going to jail, they're going to find it a hard time to get people to do their damage, and then they're going to be on the run.
Right. So, I'm kind of like, you know, at a crossroads with Anna von Ritz. I can see that she's doing a thing by waking up the people, you know, by all this correspondence or whatever that she's doing according to her website. But at the same time, the attachment to Rome and the Pope there kind of makes me a little bit nervous.
Yep, we have 7 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you then.
You can come back and talk a little bit another time, but here's the key thing. You know, we don't want to talk bad about nobody. You know, but the bottom line is if something's going to affect us, we have to talk about it. So we did talk about it. We finished talking about it. We don't need to talk about it no more. And it's written on paper what we talked about. It's written on our website. It's written. We filed an information in the federal courts, all 94 federal courts. And we sent her and others a paper on this. And now we're done with it. And we tried to be as merciful as possible with that paperwork.
I'm not trying to talk down to anybody. I was just, it's just something I just discovered today, and I couldn't access it. But I was just saying overall on her website. But, you know, I'll let somebody else talk now. thank you.
Yeah, and you can come back again. You know, we'll see you next week or whenever, and yeah, you can bring some of these issues up again. But
okay,
we'll
thanks, John.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Alrighty.
Okay, let's see if we can get through the rest of our callers. 631, looks like Long Island.
Hello, John. Can you hear me?
Hey, Board. How you doing? Yes, yes. How
not
you doing?
Not good. I had somebody banging at my door tonight.
Oh, who was that?
Well, I don't know, John, because, you know, I've been asking you to send me certain papers, and you haven't.
I know.
And
I apologize
I
for that. I know I spoke with you last week about it, but believe me, I have been bogged down.
I know,
I'll be
John,
talking
but
with
you
Linda.
Know, this is an eviction
I haven't even talked to
again.
Linda. All right, well, I haven't talked to Linda in 2 or 3 days, and I'll talk with her in the morning. I will try to get your papers out tomorrow morning.
Because,
there's
John,
a couple of people
I need
that I have to
be able to go to that court with that paper. And
when are you going to court?
I want to go to the Brooklyn court and find out if they filed those papers that we originally sent to them last July.
All right. Well, I will get you. I'll get you a certified copy out tomorrow in the mail, and I'll try to get you one faxed or emailed to you. I'll email it to you. I'll have Linda email it to you, and it'll. You won't be able to see the seal, the certification on it, but when you get the one in the mail, you'll see that. But you will see the papers, the certificate papers that went through the courts. Through the mail that they received it and signed for it.
Do you have a mailing receipt? I mean, it's not enough.
We have a certified receipt.
All right.
It's got a number. You can look online and get all the information. Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to be able to go to that court and find out if our papers are filed, including mine, because if I can get those papers accepted and approved, then we can stop my eviction.
Okay. All right. I will work on it tomorrow morning. I'm sure Linda's on the phone right now with us. And Linda, give me a call in the morning and let's take care of Maud's paper. I know I got 2 other people I got to get out, and I haven't been able to. I've just been bogged down totally and I'm way behind in what I'm trying to do already. But I'll put the time aside. And get it done. Maybe it'll take me an hour or two with everybody and get it done. Catch up.
Because, you know, to have somebody banging at my door at 9:30 at night, I didn't open it because if they wanted to serve me, I wasn't going to let them serve me.
Right.
And I haven't heard from my lawyer either. I don't know what's going on.
All right. We'll
so
get it out tomorrow.
Very scary.
We'll get it out tomorrow. Okay?
And then we have to go after that sheriff again.
Okay. Well, I know. Look, it's so difficult that we got all these cases that we have to deal with Oregon. So I'm doing the best I can. I'm only
yeah,
one person.
Yeah, I know.
We have a lot
know,
of people helping
do
and doing things, you know. But
I'll do it myself if I know how.
Right, well, look, I'm going to write another paper for you for the sheriff and get a hold of the sheriff as soon as I can. I know it's I thought things were going well for you and you had time.
Well, no, they apparently, I don't know, John. I'll find out tomorrow from the lawyer. I hope he doesn't.
Okay, look, why don't you give
me
a call? Why don't you give me a call tomorrow afternoon? Okay.
Okay. All right.
Take it from there. Meanwhile, I'll try to deal with your paperwork in the morning.
Yeah. By the way, the Black Pope is a Jesuit.
Ah. Okay.
It's the Jesuit order that runs the Vatican, and the Black Pope is the Jesuit Pope behind the White Pope, who is the outside Pope.
And
but
that has nothing to do. That has nothing to do with the color of skin, though, right?
Well, no. It's a robe. It's a black robe.
Ah, okay.
You know, and we have a Jesuit Pope in the Vatican anyway, but I don't think he's the Black Pope.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me go because we only got a few minutes and there's another person or two on the line.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, let's take our next caller is Graham Laurie. How you doing, Graham?
Yes, doing just great, John. Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes. Okay, thank you. That continental United States that the lady before Maud spoke.
Yeah, that was pre-Constitution.
That's the nation, that's the one that Anna von Retz has on her paperwork. And
Yeah, but that was originally before the Constitution. They were using that, and I know she wants to rewrite the Constitution.
Right.
And
right.
She wants to also, which I guess the Bill of Rights and everything. I don't know. I haven't seen any Thomas Jeffersons. Look, I haven't even seen a Thomas Jefferson with us. So hey, there clearly isn't one of them.
But that's what
I've read the papers.
Yeah, that's what they state is that they're under the continental
right.
small United States. That's all. Thank you very much.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, that makes sense. So.
Okay. Good night.
Okay. Okay. Last caller, 714. You only got
a couple of minutes.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, it'll be quick. Just to add to what Maud was saying for that lady about the Black Pope. Yes, it's basically a guy's name is Count Hans Kohlenbach. The Black Pope is the Jesuits general. Basically enforcement side, you know, it is the army. It's the ones who did the Inquisition and the guys in contact and deal with, you know, Committee of 300, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, yada, yada, yada. The question
I knew I wouldn't be interested in this.
Exactly. We've got more to deal with, you know, here at home, but it's just a matter of the lady wanted to look into this.
Well, yeah,
I hope she could be satiated.
It helps us
get on the important thing.
I've heard it many times before. I had no clue on what it was all about, but I never had no interest or need to look it up because I get so many other things I'm inquisitive about and I want to learn about, and the Black Pope just didn't, make me interested.
It's not what is being involved in NLA, so it's just out there, and that's what it is. So hopefully she can go work on more important things like common law and helping NLA. So that was it.
Appreciate it.
That's it. Have a great night. Thanks a lot.
Oh, you too.
Right,
thank
bye.
You. Okay, we've come to the end of our program, so we'll be back, Lord willing, next Monday, and don't forget, Wednesday we have a leadership meeting. Hopefully it's going to be an hour long or less, and I'm really going to be working hard to keep those things under an hour. It's really, really looking at things and getting people active in their counties, in their states, working things, getting things together, getting organized, and also making sure, getting paperwork out to sheriffs and just getting more involved in what we're doing in those things. So if you can, make it on Wednesday and get involved and become a leader. Let's do that. Okay, Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Thank you. Let's see. I think we'll do Raining Again by, Supertramp, if everyone was listening. Okay, good night, everybody.
Darkness and clear, we're raising the curtain, and no one's quite certain whose play it is. If only we had listened then, if we'd known just how right we were going to be, for we dreamed. And we schemed a lot, and we tried to sing of love before the stage fell apart.
are the props in your play. You're acting a part which you thought from the start was an honest part.